You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Ventura.
Yes, Satan? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You sounded like someone else.
Never mind the wisecracks, Ventura. You owe me rent.
Mr. Schickadance, I told you, you're my first priority. I'm on a very big case right now. Check this out. Look at that. That's a true albino pigeon. Some rich guy lost it. He's offering a $25,000 reward. As soon as I find this bird, you're paid.
I heard animals in there, Ventura. I heard them again this morning scratching around.
I never bring my work home with me, sir.
Oh, yeah? What's all this pet food for?
Fiber.
There's a guy I don't know wearing a Chris Crespo shirt.
Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes it. Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
Well, we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Fucked it all up already. Welcome to episode 216 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going, guys? Welcome to the show. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Orlando's number one film critic. That's me here with your Crespediso weather update. Here is your weather update. It was cloudy yesterday, but then the sun came out, so it's pretty cool. There's also 100% chance this week of trivia. So that's your weather update. Hope that helps you wherever and whenever you are. This week's threat level is just updated. Tomato. Waterproof your pets. With me, as always, is the co-host, Drew Sakagra. Drew, how you doing, dude?
I'm ready to waterproof my pet.
Waterproof your pets.
But isn't my pet already waterproof?
Well, you have a cat.
Yes.
Are cats waterproof? They just don't like water. Is that the same thing?
Aren't all animals waterproof? Isn't that kind of the point of it?
Whoa, no, I don't think so. All animals?
Waterproof.
Waterproof? What school did you go to?
I mean, no. Dude. You're not supposed to waterproof living things. It can either go in the water or it can't.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about more of a mortality type thing.
No.
Where are you going with that one?
No, not at all.
You're refusing to waterproof your pet?
Yes. Fuck your threat update. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, it'll be updated again in about 5 or 6 hours, so you can adjust your life. You are the doctor. Dr. Drew will chime in later with
your prescription for life.
Thank you very much. I was going to say a subscription because I'm an idiot and I always get those words mixed up. With us is our first-time guest, fellow podcaster. We're very happy to have him here. He brought us booze. Puts him high on the list already, a favorite guest.
That's seriously.
That's how that works. The host of Scotch and Quote Good End Quote Conversation. I have a question about that. That's a weird title, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Von Toborski is here. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
All right, the PVT. How you doing, dude?
Ducks. Ducks are waterproof.
Ah!
Yes, you're right. They are.
100%. It always amazes me. Because they haven't been in the water, and it's pretty much their job to be in the water for the most part.
That is actually true. Totally forgot about the ducks.
Ducks.
Yeah.
God, the
ducks. Penguins, probably.
That's what I'm here for.
See, so waterproof the cat. To be like a duck.
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay, fine.
Okay, you were.
Really adamant about not waterproofing.
This guy's going to beat each other up.
Seriously. One of these days.
One day.
Probably your thing.
It should have happened already. If it hasn't happened by now, then it's never going to happen.
Where's your murder award? I'm going to murder you with it today.
Oh, it's a safety deposit box in a bank in Sweden. I had it sent off.
So far away.
Yes, exactly. You threatened me with it. murder with me. You threatened to murder me with it. Same words, rearrange it properly. You threatened to murder me with that award so many times. I've had it shipped out of the country.
You're the one that brought it home and straight up was like, hey, you can murder somebody with this.
I didn't mean you could murder me.
Sure you didn't.
I was just like, look at the weight and the heft and the pointiness of it. I had an award. It was like bullshit.
Was it murderer award?
It was not a murder. It was an employee of the year award. It could have been a murderer of the year award.
Congratulations, first of all. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yeah, it was from a few years ago.
Okay.
I've since parted ways with that organization.
Okay, and then you hit it, the statue in Sweden someplace.
Because this guy was going to murder me with it.
Okay, well,
yeah. I don't need that. I don't need that.
You brought it up. You started the whole thing. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying this guy brought us booze. PBT. Very few people bring us things. Amy Drew Thompson
brings us donuts.
The notorious ADT brings us donuts. Mm-hmm.
I have this thing, you shouldn't come into somebody's home without at least a gift. Flowers.
Appreciate that. Something,
sex,
right?
Sex toys, something. Yeah.
You know, so hey, how's it going? My name's Drew. Here's a ball gag.
Yeah, the ball gags.
Why are you immediately
going to the ball gag? I've been going to that lately.
Here's the handcuffs.
Yeah,
I know,
on.
Right?
Yeah.
Instead of the maracas of chance, we're doing the ball gags of chance,
yes.
Right? We'll be talking about trivia in a second half of the show.
Flying dildos of chance.
Flying dildos of chance. What was that? In like a Russian parliament or something?
Someone said banned.
The flying dildos of chance?
Yeah.
They sent in drones with dildos on the end of them, like giant spinning in circles, giant ones, and they send them into Russian parliament, flying them over. Like,
really?
You know, yeah, to protest like the domestic violence rules that they're overturning and the all the anti-gay laws and stuff. They're going at them hard with the flying dildo copters.
Flying dildo copters.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a 21st century protest.
You find
man.
Out weird stuff, man.
It's a beautiful thing what people are doing. Yes, we're going to talk about your podcast in the second half of the show when we do the plugs. That's
right.
When I like to interview people. But we're going to jump right into the show. We got a lot to talk about. And we're going to start things with the streaming pick of the week. And as Drew knows, that starts with the theme song.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week, week. Time, here we go. Streaming pick of the week. We do this every week. Last week it was something awesome. I forgot what it was, but I'm sure it was great. I wrote it down. Just listen to episode 215, and you'll hear it. Peter, use the randomizer 9000.1. We appreciate it. Go ahead and let us know what is this week's pick of the week.
I saw this one in the theaters, and I think it was like a 80. You probably can tell me that. It's Teen Wolf.
Nice! Oh, I love this movie, Teen Wolf. Yeah, 84, 86, something like that.
Well, that 86 sounds better. Let's say 85. Just kind of smack that in the middle.
But the difference there on that one. Man, I love this movie. Teen Wolf 2, not so much. Kind of a bummer, right? With Jason Bateman, too, which is like, this guy is kicking it teaming up pretty early. Drew is checking to make sure, see where we can stream it. I know it's on Amazon. Amazon Prime, for sure. For a while, it was on Netflix. It's weird how these things are always bouncing around.
I think I might have
around.
A VHS copy of it someplace. You can come over to my house.
Yes. Okay, so do you...
It's streaming at Peter's house.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're all going to Peter's house to watch Teen Wolf. I had it on, growing up, taped off of television.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Amazon Prime.
Did you cut the commercials out?
It's on Prime. No, most of the commercials were in.
That'd probably be better than Teen Wolf at this point.
After a while, that became, like, in the late 90s when I was still watching, the commercials, they'd become like old McDonald's commercials with the fry guys and
sure.
shit like that. It's like,
what
the hell is crazy stuff? Now it'd be, like, fucking off the wall. But it was a TV broadcast, so the scene where he sniffs out Styles' bag of weed, his brother's bag of weed in the garage, and then reveals himself to be the wolf to him. And then he smells his weed and he throws in the sack. That was cut out of the TV broadcast. So I've saw Teen Wolf like dozens of times via this recording.
Without the evil marijuana.
Without the evil marijuana scene. Right. And then like in college, I read about it. I was like, wow, there's another scene in there. And then I saw an actual actual start to finish like real copy of the movie. It's like,
so
oh
you
my
didn't
God.
Know there was a marijuana scene? I didn't get that.
No idea. It wasn't really whatsoever. I had no idea.
Okay.
Because well, I was only. I just watched that one copy.
Styles. He's the. Doesn't he have a shirt that says "I'm with Dick Nose" on it or something halfway through the movie?
Does he?
I believe so. Yeah.
Motherfucker.
I don't know why I know that.
And whatever happened to that guy too?
I mean, he probably made one film.
One other movie. Teen Wolf 2.
He's got that Teen Wolf money though. So
he hoped he invested that Teen Wolf money because they weren't making that Styles spin-off movie.
I
that's for
he's
sure.
Really bitter.
Old Styles and Boof. The
she was hot, right?
She was the tomboyish, yeah, the good-looking tomboy.
Yeah, yeah, kind like, of in an 80s feathered good, hair way.
Exactly. They find a good-looking girl. They cut her hair in a certain way. Like, yeah. So now I kind of touch her, right? But then they throw in a dress during the dance scene. And then they're all doing the wolf dance.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
Man, I love that movie so much. Drew, Teen Wolf, yes. Yay,
yes.
Nay.
Yes. It's good. I enjoy it. I mean,
that's a patent. Overly, I'm insight not, that I'm not bring here. It's
overly enamored like you are, obviously.
Okay, I'm going to make a dumb guy. Wasn't there a Teen Wolf thing on MTV recently?
Yeah, I think it's still on as a matter of fact.
Except,
I think so.
They went all like Twilight werewolf-y on it.
Oh, okay.
It. Yes,
so new wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was made in the wake of Twilight, so it is like... like a drama
more
version.
Of a drama thing.
Like a CW
sounds
version.
Terrible.
Yeah. It looks terrible.
Yeah, okay.
But I also do think it's still on, which means it's
popular.
Quasi-successful.
Yeah.
However successful
actually,
you have to be, to have a show on like MTV on, I mean, how many viewers do you need? A million per episode now? Less
something
than that?
Like that.
700,000? I mean...
Did you see my... I don't
Jesus.
Know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, it is... we have cameras everywhere. The invisible camera drones. Yes.
Dude, this show's been... This show's been on for 6 years.
What?
The MTV?
Yeah. The Teen Wolf show.
Uh-huh, started in 2011. It's still going on.
It's still going on?
Yeah.
That's so
holy
sad
fuck.
And unfortunate and just messed up.
Hey, young actors getting work. Good for them. That's what's going on there.
But do you want that on your resume?
Hey, apparently.
You gotta get in somehow.
Yeah. I guess.
George Clooney has some silly credits, soap opera credits.
I mean, he
facts
of life.
Facts of
life. Yeah, he was on ER forever.
Yes. Well, DiCaprio, right? Growing Pains. Mm-hmm. Come on, you gotta start somewhere.
Okay, yeah. Teen Wolf.
With Teen Wolf, Michael J. Fox, that was sort of him on his... trajectory. He was already getting quite popular at that point. Because,
I mean, hell, at that
Back
point,
to the Future was his next movie.
I was about to say, at that point in time, wasn't he pulling double duty, doing TV and movies?
They say that, okay, this is all speculation, allegedly rumor, don't sue us. Family Ties, yes, he was doing Family Ties. And then he got the Back to the Future gig where he was doing Family Ties during the day, Back to the Future at night, mid-80s, young guy, how did he get by? Lots of cocaine, apparently. This is the thing. That's a rumor. That's why I'm saying it's rumor. Allegedly, don't sue me. Apparently, all the heavy cocaine use is what led to the Parkinson's and the illness. Because he relied on it so much. And because it was the way to in the 80s.
At the time,
it was the culture.
There was
a
lot of coke in the 80s.
No.
Yeah, I spent a good chunk of my life in the 80s.
Yeah.
10 years. And,
a
solid 10 years of my life.
Wait, hold on.
And
that math checks out.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And there was, more coke than not coke most of the time.
Did you ever find Michael J. Fox at the bottom of a pile of coke?
I just said no to the cocaine.
Okay. Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, it just seemed like a bad idea. I'm pretty wired, pretty tight anyway. And
true.
Getting coke in me would be a bad idea.
Or maybe you would
be super wired.
Or maybe it's like when you give Adderall to someone with ADHD and it calms them down. You know, maybe it's like a Eric Andre, comedian, heard him talking about doing coke a couple years ago. He's so hyper. He said he thought it would make him go crazy like Robin Williams 1970s, and he said it was like. For him, it was like almost like a cup of coffee. It made him relax. It was like, it was very disappointing.
I spent all his money on this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been a bad decision on my part.
Would have been okay. Yeah. Fair enough. You got
But hanging out with Michael J. Fox would have been kind of cool.
That would have been cool, though, right? Michael J. Fox. Exactly.
I coked up Michael J. Fox.
And a hard party in Christopher Lloyd, too, right around actually Back to the Future a couple years later. Suburban Commando is when he was divorced.
Oh, I could hang out with Doc, but I don't know. And I like Michael J. Fox. He's Michael J. Fox. He's very likable.
He is a very likable dude. That's why he was becoming a movie star there for a while with Doc Hollywood.
Doc Hollywood, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. What was the risk? Not risky business. The something about business. Business taking care of business. How to get? No, not how to get it. No, what was it? Drew, come on. The business one.
The Secret of My Success.
Yeah.
I would have never gotten that.
I know.
Bright Lights, Big City.
I never saw that one.
Oh, good soundtrack.
All the 80s had great soundtracks. Those movies, man. It was a good time. Kenny Loggins. Every other soundtrack had Kenny Loggins on it. Every other one. from Caddyshack to Top Gun, everything in the middle. I was gonna say Top Hanks. That would have made no sense.
No, none whatsoever.
That would have been. But I said it anyway because it was in my brain and it sounded funny. So I figured, let's do the box office recap. Drew, how does that sound to you?
Sounds fantastic.
All right. And here we go. Let's get into the top five. That was our intro, Peter. The top five box office recap. Drew, here we go. Let's do it.
This week we're getting our information from the numbers because fuck Box Office Mojo. Those losers aren't updated yet.
Oh, Box Office Mojo.
They have one job to do, Chris. One goddamn job.
Box Office Mojo. You're getting on Drew's
bedside. One of those things. What is that glorious machine you're using?
Just a soundboard, man. A cheap, free soundboard.
Sometimes it works well, sometimes not so much.
No, the soundboard always works fine. It's definitely user error whenever there's a fuckery going on, that's for sure.
Coming to number five this week.
Number five.
50 Shades Darker made an additional $7.7 million, total 103.
It broke 100.
Good for them.
Good for them. Do I have a budget there on the numbers?
None.
I think it was like 60 or 80. Not too much money. So you know what? That 50 Shades freed, maybe we'll still get to shit on it in a couple years.
You mean never see it and shit on it? Awesome.
Hey, we saw the first one.
Yeah, we did. That was only because we had to.
Well, maybe we should
force ourselves to see the third one? No. So we're going to see the odd-numbered 50 Shades movies?
I only see odd-numbered 50 Shades of Grey movies.
So stupid.
I won't see the two, but I'll see one and three. If they come out with five, I'll see five.
So you haven't seen two?
No, I haven't seen two. We did see one, though. Yeah. I haven't seen two.
Was that terrible?
It was awful. Oh, it was terrible. It was the most unsexy movie I've ever seen. Like, seriously, like, I was actually probably turned off.
It was shocking because of the movie.
If I was a sadist or a masochist.
No, you would not like it.
I mean, could I masturbate to it?
No, you couldn't.
There was no boobies at all?
Nothing.
No, there is some nudity, but it's like...
That's all I need.
It's not much, good, though.
Not enough.
It's surprising how weak it is.
You're going to steam your... I mean, just watch some 90s sexual
side boobs thing.
Yeah. Skinamax. Skinamax is sexier. Apparently this second movie is even more boring and less sexy than the first one.
Which,
somehow.
I don't know how that's possible.
It's got worse reviews and yeah. How's that possible? I don't know. We're not going to find out. If they make a third one though, I'm there.
Now I kind of want to see it.
At least the first one. Yeah, it's crazy how it's like, this was supposed to be sexy.
Like I thought people were supposed to be like, ooh, oh my God, this is like crazy sexy. And it's like,
all turned on and titillated and it's like,
nothing.
It's like the most boring S&M thing ever.
How much did you say they made? $100 million?
So far, $103 million.
After like three
weeks? A lot of horny housewives going to see a bad film, apparently.
Those books were extremely popular. Why they made the movies to begin with. So that's number five.
Number four, The Great Wall. Okay. Weekend gross of $8.7 million, total of 34.
Matt Damon's The Great Wall, Zhang Yimou, Chinese production, made a co-production with Legendary Pictures and Warner Brothers here in America, already made something like $250 million. No, it made over $200 million just in China.
Good.
And then like another $100 million international. And then now, how much is it here in America?
34.
Another 34.
And you guys said that was okay.
It's fun.
It is. I mean,
for what it is.
If you're into Zhang Yimou movies.
Did you notice I listen?
Yeah.
Hey, we appreciate that.
I mean, if you're into Zhang Yimou type movies, you know, kind of artistic, very, very Eastern, you know, it's up there in his repertoire. It's definitely not his best work, but, you know, it is what it is.
It's solid. It's good looking. It's the costuming is great. The production design, you know, the story is whatever. It's about the monster movie.
I don't like...
What do you see one from about an army holding back monsters?
I want Matt Damon to speak like a normal human being.
Matt Damon, not Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Okay, I know.
They're interchangeable. They could have been either one.
They just needed
Hollywood white guy.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, that's all.
That's all they just needed A-list Hollywood white guy.
A-list Hollywood white guy, they want Matt Damon. Brad Pitt would have been just fine.
Yeah, he would have been perfect.
Who else would have
George Clooney would have been okay.
No,
just too a little old. Too old. Just a little too old. He could have played the other guy. He could have played the Spanish guy.
Yeah, he could have.
Yeah. No one knows. I don't know people have seen this movie, you know what we're talking about. Exactly. The Liam Neesons could have played any role in that movie, including the leader of the girls.
You're right. He could have.
Let's go, Neesons. Follow me into the monsters. I don't know what that accent was. It's like half Irish, half...
I don't even need to see the film.
You don't have to. There you go. Just a bunch of Liam Neeson that was fighting the monsters.
I have a certain set of skills.
I have a certain set of monster spear skills. Get under the wolf.
I'm sorry, giggling.
Oh, Liam's. Love Liam Neeson.
Number three this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're doing this. Number three. Here we go.
John Wick, Chapter 2.
I was just trying to think of more things to say as Liam Neeson.
Weekend gross of $9 million. Total 74.
Hanging in there in the top five. In the top three for looks like it's third week in a row. John Wick, Chapter 2. A great movie. Are you a fan of the action movie genre in general, Peter?
I like the first one. That's the one where someone kills his dog.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then he kills everybody.
He just goes nuts and bananas.
He kills 70 people. In retaliation.
My wife, oddly enough, wants to see the new John Wick and hasn't seen the first one. So now I get to introduce her to John Wick. And here's the thing. She thinks Keanu Reeves, that's his name. Mm-hmm. He's dreamy, apparently.
He's a dreamboat.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why she wants to see it. Sure. So it's a win for me because I like anything where a bunch of guys just kill each other for no apparent reason.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, the first one, the good reason with the dog.
You guys kill my dog. I'm hunting you down.
Yeah, yes, well, exactly. And this one, they blow up his house, so he has to kill even more people. It was a cool house.
And the cool thing about John Wick 2, especially once it makes it fun, rewatching the first one, it is like a direct, that's why it's called Chapter 2, it's a direct extension of what happens in that first movie. They pick up right where it leaves off.
You said, like, on the last podcast.
Yes,
You said, like, literally it's, like, 20 minutes later.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, picking up.
He doesn't even get the rest.
It's like the next morning. No, it really is. It's like the next morning,
I feel like
maybe.
He just take a nap, just a little power nap, disco nap, but yet, somehow start kicking ass then.
Yet somehow he does, he still visibly ages, though. In those 20 minutes between
movies.
How old
is he now? He's 63.
Might as well be. He is considering his age, the way he moves, the way he looks is quite impressive.
50 mm-hmm. is the new 20, you know.
The new 20? I would say the new 30.
The new 30.
Okay. Liam Neeson. No, Liam Neeson, what, 65?
Yeah, that's the new 50.
Tom Cruise, 54. He's fucking killing it. The Mummy movie looks like. I don't even know what's going on.
Well, seriously, Tom Cruise doesn't look like he's aged in like the last decade or so.
In the last couple of movies, he looks he's looking just a little more. He's looking now like he's in his 40s.
He's had somehow. Work done. He
must have, right?
Yeah, he's got that magic Hollywood work
and
done.
And maybe they're giving him a little bit of the CG treatment too now.
That's no fair.
That's what they're doing, though.
I get that.
Scorsese's doing this movie with Robert De Niro, where De Niro's going to be playing a character in his 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s.
Did you say De Niro's playing a character?
Yeah.
Yes.
In his 20s.
Well, first off, De Niro, acting for real again. It's been a while since he's been any good in anything. But they're going to CG him down to represent different periods.
They should
of
have me play
life.
The young De Niro.
Why not?
Yeah. I think I could do it.
And definitely. How old is De Niro? Late 60s?
84.
He's an older gentleman now. He was old in the 90s when he did Ronin.
Yeah, right? What's the film that takes place in Canada with Ed Norton and...
Oh, Robert De Niro is 73.
Oh, my God. He's...
God damn. Jesus.
Canada, Ed Norton, and Marlon Brando.
The score.
I like that film. I don't know why I brought that up randomly. I'm sorry.
I haven't... Podcast. Well, because Robert De Niro's in it. And
Marlon Brando.
And Marlon Brando. One of his last movies. I remember this. The first scene you see him... They're looking down on him, and he's sitting it like wrapped in a towel, like in a sauna or something.
He's gross.
Oh man,
yeah, he's just gigantic.
And it reminded me of John Goodman in the movie The Gambler, where he's introduced this character in the same way, wrapped in a towel. Why did they do it to these guys? Wrapped in a towel in a sauna, just looking huge.
But Goodman lost a bunch of weight, didn't he?
Yes, right after
so
that.
So is he like? I lost a lot of weight. Fat,
I don't know.
Skinny.
I've only seen him in suits.
Okay, yeah, good point.
I haven't had a chance to see him shirtless. Next time I see John Goodman, I'm like, yeah, come on, let's see.
Take it off, buddy.
You should have him on the show.
Skin. I would love to have him on the show.
If you're listening, John.
Trying to get Wesley Snipes on the show. He lives in it. Wesley Snipes is in the area.
Tell him to do Scott's a good conversation, too.
If you get him, you tell him to do
you got
either
it.
Way.
It's a
reciprocal deal.
Same, okay.
Whoever gets Wesley Snipes first, send him the other person's way.
Right. Same thing with all the other podcasts.
Same thing with Michael Winslow.
Well, that's the noise guy, right?
That's the noise guy. Yes.
Yeah, he lives here too, right?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he was at the Run the Jewel show.
Was really? He really?
Yeah.
Did he get up on stage?
No, he didn't get on stage. But apparently he did like some of the sound effects for their second
album. I was going to say, I feel like you don't even need a DJ.
No, exactly.
You got him, yeah. And you give him a mic, he's going to be like, doing everything, you know.
Do that again.
We could get him to do, like make it sound like we're on an airplane. He's like... and then it sounds like we're on an airplane, and now we're talking underneath him doing.
Coming in number two this week.
Oh, that's sorry. Right. I'm sorry we're doing that. I forgot all about
The Lego Batman movie.
So if we get Michael Winslow, we'll send him your way.
Made sorry. Additional $19 million. Total of 133.
Well, Lego Batman 133 already after 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Good for Lego Batman. That's good stuff. It's a fun movie if you're a fan of the Batman movies in any way or the comic books.
If you like Batman at all.
If you like the character, it's like a great representation, a fun representation of the character. It's good stuff.
What if I like Legos?
Even better.
Even okay. better.
Yeah. Because, they do really like the movie.
And the movie is digital, just like the Lego movie.
Yeah.
But they make a point of...
trying to make everything out of digital Lego pieces.
Well, not trying, but the fact, everything you see in the movie, everything that they create, it's possible to make that in real life. Mm-hmm. The sets, the characters, the vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. You can actually make it if you had the blueprint and all that, you know, but it is digital though. So sometimes it looks like real Legos, and then sometimes it looks like it's animated.
Fake Legos.
It's weird. It's a weird thing.
Number one this week, last and certainly not least, Get Out.
You Get Out.
Weekend gross $30 million, same as the total.
From Jordan Peele, half of Key and Peele, the comedy's duo. Have you seen any of the marketing for this? Get Out, the horror film?
No idea what any of those thriller.
Things are. Jordan Key and Peele on Comedy Central. It's the...
I wouldn't call it a horror movie. It's a thriller.
A thriller, fair enough. Fair enough. yeah, sure. That's
okay. Yeah, not going to argue about that.
I'm all, no.
Well, because there are no monsters. I mean, there's really not... There's like two jump scares in the whole movie.
Okay, sure.
It's not really, you know...
There's subgenres, that's cool. Key and Peele is a comedy duo. Okay. I think one of them or both of them on Mad TV.
At least
I didn't watch Mad TV, so I think one of them started on Mad TV. I think they're from Chicago originally, and they had a show on Comedy Central for a few seasons. These two dudes, Keegan Michael Key and Jordan Peele. Keegan Michael Key is getting more like side work in different roles in movies and stuff. What's that James Franco movie he just did? Where he played the bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. With Bryan Cranston. Oh,
I only saw the trailer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the TV show got him popular. It got him a good pop. And they used that to break off and other stuff. Jordan Peele had a horror movie that he wanted to do. This is the horror movie. It just came out. Okay. And it's about a black dude who his white girlfriend is taking him home to meet her parents in the suburbs. And... he's all like, did you tell them that I'm a black guy? And she's like, why would I? That shouldn't be an issue. It's not going to be an issue. And then they get there, and then it's all like, a lot of, they appear to be very liberal people. They're all very welcoming, but they're still like microaggression crazy on him for different reasons, you know? Like talking about his physique and his natural abilities and stuff. And he's just like, you know, and
then she gets making weird.
Assumptions about him, about because he's black, and it's like, and he's like, it's the first time they've ever met a black person, you know, that type of thing.
This is a new film that's in the theaters now.
Yeah,
just
came out.
came out this weekend.
Such the wrong guest for your show.
No,
yeah,
this is perfect.
Okay, good. The guy doesn't know what's going on.
No, because we're here to tell you about this movie.
Okay,
now.
Good. Get out with people
you
don't know.
Get out with people you don't know.
Okay.
Is there anyone? Bradley Whitford is a guy, if you saw him. Billy Madison.
Okay.
The Adam Sandler movie, Billy Madison.
I know that one,
When we're back to school.
Yeah, yeah.
The asshole guy trying to be CEO.
It's been a while.
Yeah, damn it. I'm trying to remember.
It's okay.
He's the dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else has that guy been in? It's the type of dude, he's been in a bunch of shit anyway.
Is this film good?
Yes.
Okay, good. Get Out. It's good.
It's good. It's about... It's a thing. How much can we say without, giving things away?
Oh, you don't give away the plot. I forgot about that.
I want to tell people what it's about without giving away the twist.
I mean, like you said, all that stuff happens, and then shit gets really fucking weird, Chris.
Weird.
Super weird.
He finds out there's, some sort of...
There's stuff going on.
Like, underground thing going on in the suburb.
And is it just me, or is the friend totally just... Jordan Peele.
The guy he calls on the phone? Yeah, he's just doing a Jordan Peele thing for sure. Yeah, 100%. It's a thriller. It's a tight thriller where it's very tense and...
And there are some twists and some things that maybe you don't see coming, depending.
Catherine Keener, the woman who plays the mom, does some hypnosis. She was in...
40-Year-Old Virgin.
40-Year-Old Virgin. She's a 40-year-old
virgin. Yeah, she was the love interest.
I like her. She's pretty to look at in an older woman sort of way.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. She is 100%. And she's in this movie, she plays the mom character.
Oh, I don't want a mom character.
Oh, well, she's very integral to the story, actually. Okay. And she's good. She's actually really good in it. And everyone's good in this movie. It's well acted. And it's called Get Out because it's that thing you hear when people are watching horror movies and you're in a bad situation. You yell at the screen, "Get out!"
Oh,
okay. Get out! That type of thing. Like,
turn me around on this.
It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Get out of here! Is it really?
Not joking.
Get the fuck out of here!
100% out of 135 reviews, wow. 135 of them are fresh.
What's the average rating?
8.3.
I would go like 7.5, 8 out of 10 on this one if I was gonna rate it. What's the consensus then?
Funny,
on
scary, and thought-provoking, Get Out seamlessly weaves its trenchant social critiques into a brilliantly effective and entertaining horror slash comedy thrill ride.
Yeah, it's good. When we saw it in a pretty packed theater.
The jumps got everybody, and the laughs did too.
Yeah, people were cheering and laughing, and literally at the end, like clapping at certain things and stuff. So it was working on that particular theater fill people that we were.
Okay, riddle me this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take over your podcast.
Do it.
If my wife and I are going to go see a film, John Wick or Get Out?
Ooh. It's what you're in the mood for. Yeah. John Wick is like the best action movie to come out in years.
Keeping in
both
mind,
of them.
My wife likes Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say John Wick over the two, for sure.
She likes me more, by the way.
I hope so.
I think so.
I mean, she's
got more money.
Do you think so, or do you know so?
No, I'm very witty.
Hey, there's a little bit of doubt creeping in there.
I have a funny feeling Keanu Reeves isn't that witty.
It is. He's a smart guy. You'd be surprised.
No, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
My wife's going to leave me.
Yeah, no. I hear that.
Keanu Reeves is intelligent. I love you so much if you're listening. Yeah.
I would say John Wick over Get Out. But Get Out, if you see two movies, Get Out is still worth watching.
Because Sunday. Back-to-back movie thing. Yeah, all right.
Matinees, too. Because it's smart, it's thought-provoking, it's got something to say, but it's also just, like, solid, well-made, pure pop entertainment, too, on top of that. So,
all right.
Get Out, good stuff, for sure. Looks like everyone agrees on that one. New movie is coming out on DVD, Allied, that Brad Pitt, Marion Cotillard, World War II.
That I never saw.
You never saw it. It's a movie about Brad Pitt's character, he's like an undercover agent for the British Army. Marion Cotillard plays one for the French. I can't remember who exactly.
Or is she part of the
But then Germany? It turns out, like, oh, is she is she an undercover spy? That's a thriller. It's okay. It's a Robert Zemeckis movie.
I wanted to see that movie. I wanted to see it so bad.
Very
and then,
angry.
Well, yeah. The thing was, right? I didn't get a chance to see it because I had life got in the way. Yeah. So like I had to. Yeah. I couldn't see the movie. Life. And then when I asked Chris about it, I was like, "So Chris, how was the movie?" He was just like, "Meh." And I was like, "Oh, come on."
Yeah, it is kind of meh. It's kind of meh. It is a DVD though type of thing, or stream it, or you know, in the comfort of your own home type of movie. It's got its redeeming qualities. Kind of weird though. Doctor Strange comes up.
Yes.
For people. So
that was good.
Anyone a fan of superhero movies at all? Doctor Strange is a good one to check out. And then Moonlight.
Oh, yeah.
Comes out on DVD. By this point, people are listening. The Oscars have already been aired. It's out there. The winners and losers. And surely, in some capacity, Moonlight is going to be considered an Oscar winner in some way, shape, or form, whether it's an actor. Or anything.
What if it doesn't?
What if it wins nothing?
What
if it wins nothing? Well, then this movie will sound stupid in retrospect, won't we?
Yes, we will.
Or won't we, Drew? It'll win something. Moonlight's a really good movie, Peter. It's about
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, this movie is not a lot of people know about it because it's very low budget. I had a small release, yet it. Since a lot of people saw it in L.A., that's where the Academy is.
Yeah,
and they the ones who vote on it, so they all saw it. It won't win that much, but it is a movie about a person, three stages of his life, when he's like 10 years old, when he's 15 or 16, and then when he's 30, and it's about him growing up in Miami, in a very poor part of town, as his mom was a crackhead, and he's got no dad, and he's gay, and
it's the story of my life.
Pretty much.
Sure.
But inverted.
Oh.
Because it's much harder. Much harder.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine, anyway, considering the you're here, you seem all adjusted and all. And
no, come on.
No, you don't have any... I mean, you do have those teardrop tattoos on your face.
And the spiderweb on
the
elbow.
And the spiderweb on the elbow, yeah. Killed the guy in prison. The ice cream cone on the cheek, you know. But otherwise, it seemed like a straight
and
narrow
fella.
Is the ice
cream cone on the cheek a thing?
I have no idea.
There's one guy with that, right?
I have no idea.
Google ice cream cone prison tat.
Neo-Nazi prison tat.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily a prison tat.
Okay, I didn't.
It might just be a hip-hop tat.
Oh,
it's not like the elbow with the spiderweb on the elbow.
Down. Yeah.
But now, so many people have tattoos now, it doesn't even matter anymore. You see kids walking around with spider webs on their elbows.
Stupid tattoos.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Now, the spider webs thing don't mean what they used to anymore. You used to be able to identify people.
You
now,
iced a guy in prison.
Yes, right. Yes, that's prison now talk. It's just like, oh, you just saw the little Wayne hand, then so you got one. Because you saw it on the
You're
cover
really
of...
You're not really Googling prison tattoos, are you?
No.
Okay, good, thank
oh,
you.
Oh, I was waiting for this guy, really? No, this guy's over here.
Don't listen to anything I'm saying.
Looking at porn and jacking off this motherfucker.
It's crazy.
Is that what you're doing over there?
I don't know. You tell me, Chris.
The studio is gigantic. You're on the other side of the room. I can't see you.
Both of my hands are up. You
so
tell me
away.
If I'm masturbating.
Are those your hands? I can't see. You're so far away. That's why you have the microphones. Or else we wouldn't be able to hear each other. That's how we do this. People don't know what's going on here.
You don't even know what's going on here.
You have a beautiful studio, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's spacious.
I've
got to hop in the hot tub later.
Yeah.
Get a massage.
Please do. We'll have the captain swing the boat around. I know, and right. we'll take another tour of the Barbados. There's another
the
one.
Barbados.
Oh, rules don't apply. The Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty hasn't done anything movie-wise in like a decade, and then he made a light, fluffy rom-com in which he plays Hugh Hefner, but he's not the main character. Other people are the main character.
What?
Yes. It confused many people when it came out. It is now on DVD to confuse even more people. Drew, what's come out in theaters?
The Shack.
The Shack with Sam Worthington, the guy who they tried so hard to make this guy a movie star a few years ago with Clash of Titans. And Avatar, and what was the third movie? He was in three movies at the same time. And
Terminator
Salvation.
Yeah.
He was in those three movies in a span of a year, and to this day, people are like, Sam Worthington? Who Worthington? Some Australian.
You know, that bland
fellow.
White guy.
He's a bland white guy.
Me too.
So you should identify with him. That's what they were hoping for. They're trying to bring the bland white guys into the theaters. Like, look, here's another one of you. He's in this movie in which he's guilty over the death of his like daughter or something.
Is this the Jesus book?
Yes.
Okay. I think so. Like he's talking
he has a
to
personal
God?
Invitation to meet with God at a place called the Shack.
I saw the trailer a couple of times, and it looks like someone at Lifetime, the Lifetime Channel, someone got a budget.
Oh.
Like it's like, oh, we got $40 million bucks in Sam Worthington. We're making a movie.
It's your Christian exploitation stuff, Chris. You love this stuff.
It is Christian exploitation 100%. It's for the God's Not Dead 3 folks. Mm-hmm. You know those people. Yeah. Meanwhile, none of them went and saw Martin Scorsese's Silence.
Nope.
Probably one of the best movies about faith and religion in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Correct.
And it made like
no money.
$250 box. 14 of it is between me and Drew.
Also coming out this weekend.
Oh, there's something else coming out besides The Shack? Thank God.
Logan.
Okay, Logan.
Finally.
The last...
Wolverine Trace.
The last Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman. After this, Hugh Jackman is done playing the character. Patrick Stewart is done playing Professor X after this. So it's the end of like a almost 20-year run of movies when it comes to these particular actors playing these characters in films.
The guy with the scissors for hands.
The guy with the scissors
for hands. Not Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, no. I
Logan Scissorhands.
Yes.
Logan, okay, but they grow out of his hands, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Glad I did my homework.
Like out of his, his wrist?
In between his knuckles.
In between his knuckles.
Is where they come out, yeah.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, it's...
uncomfortable.
It does seem uncomfortable, as a matter of fact. Now, what's interesting about this movie is it's an R-rated film. Oh. And the tone of it is very gritty, very grounded, apparently. They've already done advanced... at least one advanced screening where, like a couple months ago at a film festival where they just showed the first 40 minutes... And that went over very well. People were very excited to see the rest of the movie. And it's kind of a departure from the other comic book movies out there. The more colorful, sillier ones. This one's bloodier.
It's actually a departure from the original X-Men trilogy where Hugh Jackman started the whole Wolverine thing.
That's true. The PG-13 movies are more comic book-y, to use that expression.
Yes.
This one is more along the lines of like a post-apocalyptic High Plains Drifter.
Exactly.
You know, that type
Except,
of
he's got adamantium
he's claws, got, and he kills a lot of people.
He's got them scissor hands.
Did you say adamantium?
Adamantium.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's
where Adam Ant got the.
It's
right?
The it's the fake metal that his claws are made out of.
The Marvel Brandon metal, adamantium.
Yes, adamantium.
And that,
that and vibranium.
And I think that's where Adam. Isn't that where Adam Ant got it? Because that was from the 60s, right?
What?
Adamantium?
I don't remember. I don't know where it came from.
Sorry to.
Yeah,
I brought this show to
him. No, it's okay.
No, I'm looking, no, this guy, he has all this information. I go to him for adamantium. He's the number one source for adamantium information.
It comes from a fake country that your favorite character is the world leader of.
Fakhetistan.
No, Wakanda, buddy.
Come on. Oh, Wakanda. Wakanda.
That's where they mine.
That's where adamantium. They make adamantium in Wakanda.
Yeah.
It's not Fakhetistan.
No. Sorry, everyone.
Better be sorry.
It's all right. It's comic book geekery.
It's because I thought Adam Ant was like a cartoon.
Yes, well, that's Adam Ant.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to be quiet.
Well, what came first?
That's a Hanna-Barbera.
And isn't Adam Ant also a singer, songwriter?
I have no idea.
Goody Two Shoes, 1980s. Yeah, I'm Stand and Deliver, Goody Two Shoes.
Come on. All these things come together in a way somehow to make sense.
You really don't know the singer, Adam Ant? You know way more about movies than I do, so.
Is an English singer and musician?
We all can't know everything.
He got locked up. He went nuts in a bar and shot the place up. And they locked him up.
See, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. How come we don't notice, Drew?
I don't know.
How come we don't notice?
I'm sorry.
Why are you so sorry for everything? This guy is so. You should drink more. How many beers have you had? Two?
Oh, two.
Yeah, good to see you. I'm almost on my.
You know what? We're gonna get to a break here soon. We can refill our drinks.
He's on tour.
Yeah, he's great.
Adam Ant's on tour.
I wouldn't call him great.
I mean,
we should show him Wolverine claws.
He's better than I am.
In the UK, New Zealand,
Australia. You
guys should
have him on a podcast. And then throw them my way because I actually like them.
Or if you get them, throw them our way. And then we'll ask him about Wolverine.
Yeah, he won't know.
See what he knows. What. Yeah. Doesn't matter. We'll just keep asking him.
Okay. I don't know either. Like, I'm a lot like Adam Ant.
All right, so it's like a test run here. Yeah. We'll make this work out.
Okay.
This will be perfectly fine.
He's going to be much better than me.
Do you have any information to share with us, Drew? You're staring at the screen over there.
No,
nothing. This guy is worthless. We're going to see Logan, and we'll talk about it next week with our ooh, we're having a good guest. Next week, she's been on before.
Yes.
So that'll be fun. Here we go. New movies. We already did that. Blah blah blah. All right, time for Dr. Drew's segment. Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Here's the intro of that.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove. Do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, here we go. Dr. Drew, take it away.
All right, Chris, I got a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
Is it just me, or do these, like, the summer movie season, does it seem just to be getting longer and longer and starting sooner and sooner every year?
Yeah, it does.
I mean... This Logan movie comes out this weekend. It's
could have been a summer movie.
It's
right?
February. Kong Skull Island comes out here in like 2 weeks.
Yep.
I mean, there's all sorts of other big budget, huge, you know, quote unquote blockbusters.
Yep.
That, you know, normally I would think would be coming out in like July or August or whenever. What's going on?
It used to be May, June, July, where there were the summer blockbuster movies. Then the Fast and Furious movies started coming out in April. And then Man of Steel came out in March. Man vs. Superman came out in March of last year. Yes, and now Logan and shit is coming out now. Drew, what's up with that, Doctor?
That's what I was asking.
Oh, no, you're asking me.
I was asking you.
You weren't listening.
No, I was listening, but I don't have an answer.
Okay, well, there
I don't
we go.
Know. Right. Money. Because
ching! All right.
Gotcha.
I want one of those.
I didn't have a prescription for life at the time. I actually had a question.
Oh, so. I'm sorry. So, Dr. Drew's questions for the world.
Yes, questions for the world.
Oh, that's
why are all these
that's
movies?
A new segment. That means why, new intro.
Why are all these? Why are summer movies coming out in February? That's what I want to know. Doctor's out.
Doctor's out. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Drew's questions for the world. Why are movies coming out in February?
No. Why are summer movies coming out in February?
Fair enough. Good questions. We need to take a break. I have two. We need to take a break. I have two songs here for the Crespo Disco. It's Crespo Disco time, and I've been listening to some more like classical Baroque style music. I don't know what you fucking classify that shit. What did they call classical music when it first came out in the 1800s?
Music.
They just called it music, right? You know?
Why did I raise my hand? Top 40.
They call it Top 40?
Sure.
Our Top 40 hits this week. We start number 40 with Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. His seventh movement of the La Crie Escriminate.
You don't know what you're talking about.
No, after Mozart, I gave it up there. Well, a lot of that stuff, the classical sounding stuff, you know, it's also what movie soundtracks sound like, too. They use a lot of orchestras and symphonies, etc. So a blending of the two things. This guy, Tyler Bates, he got sued for the 300 soundtrack back in 2006 because he took song cues from the movie Titus. The William Shakespeare play Titus Andronicus. He took music from that, pretty much copied it, and then released as his own soundtrack, and then he got sued, and then they had to... But anyway, it's still good stuff. So here's a song from that, and then also his soundtrack for the Watchmen movie, the song at the end, Requiem, where Ozymandias realizes that despite all the good that he did in killing millions of people, it's still not good enough. It's a miserable existence, you know, life. Pretty much. Well, that's just
welcome to it, buddy.
Welcome to it. It sucks. That's why we podcast about it, to get to escape, sort of, to document it and escape from it.
Sure.
You don't sound convinced?
No.
Drew doesn't sound convinced.
I'm not convinced.
Okay, here we go. We're gonna take a break. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. This guy either. He's just staring at me. This motherfucker. Not even. Fuck you, Drew. Fuck you.
Horror movies? So do we.
Flux is alive, balls yep. out.
Just cuts his tongue it on out.
She yep. was great.
Do you like American Horror Story? So do we.
There were some butts.
Yep.
Killings.
Yep.
Butt.
Yep.
Killings.
Butt.
Yep.
Killings.
If it's over 90% cheek, that's your butt. You see the essence of the butt.
Are you into vampires dancing in mesh tank tops? Us too.
I was mesmerized by the mesh tank top and leather pants.
Are you into high-minded film critique and discussion? Because we've got that.
And it is beautifully filmed. Like, it really... Just the stark contrast of colors, like you said.
Not your thing? How about a dick joke?
His dick, dude. He put his dick in a fucking pig. Come on.
We've also got one dude to give dude perspective.
Zombie apocalypse is no time to have your head in the pussy clouds, Mickey. This is survival.
Thank you.
So head over to iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you listen, and subscribe to The Bloodlust, your go-to podcast for classy broads and a token dude talking horror.
Thank you.
Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchy, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchy, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine, because of your generous contribution, that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Guys, what's up? We are back. Episode 216. I gotta keep checking. I don't know why I keep forgetting.
I keep forgetting what number this show is. It's true. It's the carbon. Where can people find you on Twitter?
At Antihero419, all over the interwebs.
Antihero419.
I can do that all day, seriously.
Let's do that for the rest of the show and just sit here and giggle.
I love Michael McDonald voice.
Dustin with the beard and the hair. And the brothers.
Oh, if I can get the white hair going, Antihero419 followed you all over the interwebs. It would be very helpful to him if you can send him your favorite GIFs of your favorite Billy Crystal hosting the Oscar moments. Send him those Antihero419 on Twitter, and he'll be forever grateful. Peter, first off, where can people find you online?
Oh,
what are your favorite? What's your favorite social media outlet?
I don't like the internet, but I use it all the time.
I'm right there with you,
well,
man.
I was gonna get rid of my Facebook, like my personal one, because it's just fucking stupid. And I realized that I couldn't get rid of my business account or the Scotch and Good Conversation Facebook. Mm-hmm. Without owning a personal one.
Yeah.
So you can catch me at Scotch and Good Conversation on Facebook. We have a group, Scotch and Good Conversationalist. I made that up.
Yes. Know, right? That's good.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but that's stupid.
You're not too big on the Twitter one?
I don't spell well.
Well, actually, that's a perfect place for you then. Well, because the funny thing was, a lot of people on Twitter can't spell that well.
That's true.
I posted something this morning and you reposted it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And then I realized there was a spelling error, so I took it down.
Oh.
and then I reposted it again, and you reposted it again. So thank you very much.
It's so easy to hit that retweet button. It takes 2 seconds.
I was very surprised that Scotch and Good Conversation wasn't a thing on the internet. So if you just Google Scotch and Good Conversation, I'm going to say that 3 or 4 more times.
It's a good name, yeah. Scotch and Good Conversation.
It sounds cool. It's
What the good in parentheses? Why is the good in parentheses? Do you not think the conversations are good?
Yes.
Are you hedging your bets there? It's Scotch and
Conversation.
That's exactly the reason. Yeah, I think you're the first person who got it.
Okay.
When I started, I was pretty aware that I was just going to be a drunken master on most of the shows. And
not to interrupt, but it is 90% of podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I assume that they wouldn't be decent shows, and my friends or the people who came on the show would carry the whole damn thing.
Yeah,
and it's the truth. They're the smart people. I just hit buttons.
But you're doing the old the ringleader, the showmaster, the MC. You're guiding the conversation. You have a style. The show has a style. I did want to talk about that. I do listen to the show.
I've
listened. I mean, it's especially easy when you have people on that I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it makes it fun. Even though I know these people, it's still fun to hear them do their own deep dives, right? So like Angel Rivera.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that was fun.
We had him. They were recording SBK Live out of the quote Crespediso studio for years.
Yeah, that was our living room.
It was our the dining room table by the front door.
No, not joking. My living room.
Wasn't even a real studio, you know, but we were hanging out with those guys all the time.
Every once in a while, if you really listen, you could probably hear me playing video games in the background.
You could, or on certain episodes, if you listen, you hear everyone talking a little too loudly in the kitchen, yeah. And the Kevin's like, shut up, Yes, sir. Well, I'm sorry, sir.
It was kind of a little party every time they came over.
Well, that's what podcasting's about.
It is. To drink with mics on.
Exactly. Yeah. It is 100%. And we even had our Swamp Patrol friends, Mike and all them, they showed up with like Gator and a whole fry
and
station.
A deep fryer.
And a deep fried Gator. We're eating fucking food and
hang out with you guys.
Oh, man. That was back in the day. That was peak podcast. That was way more fun.
That was peak podcast.
Now we have the studio. Well, there ain't no one frying no Gator up in here.
Yeah, you should have told me.
Oh, so we gonna bring Gator next time?
I don't know how to fucking cook anything.
Well, the next time we'll bring the Gator.
Right. Yeah, we can do that.
We'll cook the shit out of anything. What I want to say is that, I do like how you have like Angel, Daniel Dennis, because you know I've got to meet him through their show. He's an interesting cat, obviously.
Yeah.
The What's the Fuss fellas, the What's the Fussers.
All three of the kids from What's the Fuss. I love those dudes.
Shout out to the What the Fussers.
They're just pussy cats.
They think
they're so down, but they're just so nice.
They try to be tough, but
no, they're tough. They're street. They're down.
But you look in their eyes, you're like, no, you're
soft.
You were tough when you were 19.
You can tell they're soft.
No, it's because I feel like
you pay bills now, motherfuckers.
They're doughy.
We are not talking smack about those kids.
We're talking smack about the Pod War. We're starting.
What?
Choose a side. Choose a side, Courtney. I need that Courtney B. Vance really button. God damn it. Yeah, you can't put a good reason to choose a side, Drew. Fuck, you're good. But what I do like is that so you pick the format. You're like, I want to interview people, and each episode does have like you have three questions for me. I have seven questions for you throughout the episode.
They ask me three questions,
and the way you disperse those questions and you space everything out is it's the timing of the show. It's what makes the show what it is. So you're downplaying it, saying like, oh, it's all the guests that I have, but it takes a little bit of skill. It takes something there to be the proper host, to ask the questions, to guide the conversation, not overwhelm it, not make it all about you. I think you do a good job.
Thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
It took a little while to learn how to listen more and talk less.
That is
still something I'm working on.
That's a big thing in podcasting. People don't listen to them.
I hate to use the word blessed. I'm very fortunate to have. It started out where a lot of my friends were on the podcast. My friends are very, very cool. They're musicians. They own bands. They make booze. They write.
Cool.
So I had them in, and the last thing we ask, the last question of the seven I ask is who do you know that I don't know?
Very smart question.
To bring them in, and we've gotten is that a word?
I think gotten is fine. The other words.
We've received a whole lot of the who's who of Orlando culture.
Yeah.
Like the people who make Orlando like a super cool, interesting town.
I saw online you recorded an episode with Mark Baratelli from the Daily City.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I didn't know him from a hole in the wall. Someone suggested him and it was wild and irreverent.
Guy.
You know him?
Yes, we've gotten to meet him through SBK Live. Because when SBK Live was recording at our place, he came over to do a show, so I got to meet him then.
I'm going to let you know on a secret, and either this is... Well, this comes out a couple days from now?
This episode?
Yeah.
This episode comes out a couple hours from now.
Oh, well, that's not scary at all. Put my pants back on. He was way off.
For people listening, we are sitting here with our pants off.
That's how I do every podcast. He was way off mic.
That's why it's hard to get ladies on the show.
Yeah. He was way off mic, so I think I might have to record it again.
Although he was
podcast gold, and
he's so funny and smart.
He's irreverent.
Yeah, and irreverent.
There was
extremely.
A lot of singing. I think there was some jazz hands at some point.
Excites me because I have a book to be a guest on our show in a few weeks. So.
Yeah, well, get ready for wild movements.
Uh-huh.
Just a lot of.
We're gonna make sure we charge up all the invisible camera drones that fly in the corners there. Yeah. So,
but sure thank you guys for having me on. I'm a fan of what you do.
Oh, thank you so much, man. No, thank you for coming on. I'm this year. What I'm trying to do in 2017 is I want to have more. I'm focusing on stand-up comedians and podcasters.
Okay, good.
In the scene, absolutely. So, and you're definitely a podcaster up and coming. You've been doing it for over a year, but already voted second best podcast on Orlando Weekly Reader Awards, which means you have an active audience.
It was a fluke.
No, what it is, it's people who listen to you are into what you do, and they're willing to vote, which is cool. Our show, we have a good show. It's popular, but we have a lazy fucking audience. They don't give a fuck. Look, I beg them. I beg them for iTunes reviews, and they don't give us iTunes. We're begging you iTunes reviews. No iTunes reviews. Oh, God,
no one reviews anything. Just leave a fucking review. It's how hard is that? 5 stars. Just leave 5 stars. It takes you like a second of your life.
And then to actually write something, maybe 30 seconds. Like, this show is good. Enter. That's all you need to do.
The Orlando Weekly thing, I didn't think I had a snowball's chance in hell of winning.
Yeah, but then, I mean, who did you pay?
I'm sorry, what? Yeah, rumor on the streets. Rumor on the streets is I paid somebody.
That's what happened with the bar with the copper rocket. They're like, it's a conspiracy. Yeah, it's a popular.
Contrary to popular belief, I didn't pay anybody. I bought 3 of those Facebook ads.
Yeah.
Which cost me $7 a piece.
Yeah, those are super cheap, and they get you in front of like 2,000 or 3,000 impressions. Or
yeah,
whatever.
I bought 3 of those, and somehow because of the guests, not because of me. Especially then, I didn't really have a clue as to what I do.
Yeah,
it's amazing to me every time I can upload a podcast. If I can get it up into
success,
I do a little dance around the house and run around with my pants off.
What are you using there, Libsyn?
Yeah, I use Libsyn.
Yeah,
I use Libsyn. I have a Mac like that.
Yeah,
because it has 2 inputs for 2 mics.
Yes.
I don't have a mixing board. I don't have any budget.
Yeah,
I use GarageBand.
GarageBand, sure, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people do.
No, I'm using Adobe Audition, but that's overkill. There's so many things there that I don't need. I could just simply go with
your podcast. Band. Sounds really professional compared to mine.
No, yours sounds good. I'm gonna say yours sounds good. Don't put it down that way. Okay. But thank you very much. I do think that the sound quality is very important. And it is amazing how many people put out podcasts out there and it sounds like shit.
Lately, I feel like it sounded bad. I'm in the process of selling something very dear to me. I have a scooter.
I saw that online. Yeah.
I'm selling my scooter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to buy some like real equipment. So hopefully at some point I'll be able to have more musicians in. And
That would be very cool, as a matter of fact. With these mics on, these are kind of a little older now, these condenser mics on. We could record some okay music live.
But yeah.
It could sound better for sure. Well,
thank you for having me on.
No, thank you very much. And real quick also, didn't you have something else? Did you have another thing that you do, if you want to promote it or not? Like Banana Vintage, that's something?
That's my sponsor.
Okay, it's a sponsor. All right, I just saw it on the...
Oh, there we go. Oh, it's time.
Oh, good.
Juicy Cochran versus the world.
Juicy Cochran versus the world. Juicy Cochran versus the world.
Real quick, though, that's a sponsor. What's going on with that? Because I saw something online there. Because I follow you on Instagram.
Bama Pama Vintage. BAMAPANA Vintage. Vintage menswear. Just dude stuff. Just stuff guys like suits, tuxedos, ties.
Like if I'm looking for a jacket with like corduroy, elbow pads or something.
Bell bottoms, tuxedo shirts, bow ties.
Yeah.
It's the stuff you can't buy at the mall.
And where can I get this stuff?
BAMAPANA Vintage. Google it, learn it, live it, love it. They do pop-ups around town. Follow them on Instagram. Facebook, I don't know. The owner is really good looking.
All right, very good. I just saw it online. I was like, this looks interesting. I want to ask him about this.
Well, thank you. I'll put the word back to that kid.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Not too.
Drew Sacogburn versus the world. Oh, it's our weekly trivia game. Drew Sacogburn versus the guest. The guest represents the world. You are the world. Guest. You are the world.
No pressure
at all, but the world is on your shoulders.
Okay.
Also, no pressure at all, but Drew so far this year is 5-0. He's 5-0. No pressure whatsoever.
Is it music trivia?
No.
Movie trivia.
Every now and then we do, we've done music heavy trivia before, but it's still movie related.
You waited until I was mildly drunk. Good.
Oh,
that always helps.
That's part of the game plan. As a matter of fact, cheers, everyone. Cheers, sir. Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Solange.
I love you, guys.
Are you not drinking?
No,
you're
drinking. Fuck off. Right. What a bad attitude.
No.
I'm afraid of you.
That's just Drew's attitude.
It's just me.
It's my Druitude.
Druitude is my favorite thing.
That's why he's the hashtag. He's the Drew Sacogburn, man. Like, no one liked Drew Sacogburn at first, but then he won an Academy Award. So, no Apple.
Okay, let's do this.
I don't want to update.
I'm going to give you the stink eye through this whole thing.
Okay, well, this game is going to be a lot of fun, guys.
I'm going to look up.
This game is called Sean or Michael. You have a 50% chance of getting this right. It's called Sean or Michael. I'm going to tell you the movie title. You tell me if it starred Sean Connery or Michael Caine. For the point to count, you have to answer in the voice. So you have to say Sean Connery.
Oh, Sean Connery.
Or
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
You have to do an impression of the person as we answer.
I feel like they're kind of the same.
Ah, yes, it's kind of similar. Well, Sean Connery's more of a... He's got this...
Smack-a-bitch.
The smack-a-bitch. But he's also Scottish. He's a Scottish smack-a-bitch. Michael Caine is more of a... You gotta do what you gotta do to keep walls from the door.
He's a proper English
man. More proper English. Okay. I was knighted.
All right.
So, all right. Drew, you're going first. Uh-huh. Okay, because winner take out the ball first. Winner takes out. You're 5-0.
It's a home field advantage.
Sometimes until he loses, and then the other person, you know, sometimes going first isn't the best either.
Smack talking.
A or B? We have two groups of five. A or B? What do you want, Drew? A or B?
I go with group A.
Group A. Here we go. Is it Sean Connery or Michael Caine? All right, here we go. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Michael Caine.
That's correct. That's a good film. It's a great film, isn't it?
Oklahoma.
Number two, On Deadly Ground.
Sean Connery.
Incorrect. It's Michael Caine. Michael Caine. Number three, Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
What the fuck?
Michael Caine.
No, it's Sean Connery.
See the fuck.
Number four, A Good Man in Africa.
I feel like you're coming. That's a terrible noise.
Either that or you're turning into a monster.
God, you're going to mess up your computer.
A Good Man in Africa.
Sean Connery?
What was that?
Sean Connery.
That is correct. That is correct. And finally, number five, Dressed to Kill.
Did that have Angie Dickinson?
Michael Caine.
That is Michael Caine and yes, and Angie Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson had Bush in that one. It's like one
of the, she did because she's on a shower scene.
Oh god, it was hot. It was like one of my. Is that 78, 79?
It's like 1980 or 81. God,
it was one of my earliest memories.
It's Brian De Palma. It's the movie he did right after Scar. No, before Scar.
Is he still alive?
Brian De Palma?
No. Angie Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson.
I'd fuck her.
Good to know.
Let's find out.
Good to know. Drew's going to find out if he's just she's still fuckable. Well, Angie, if you're listening, PBT over here from Scotch and Good Conversation.
I feel like she still smells like an ass.
She's 85 years old.
85 years old.
I might not fuck her.
I'm more of a Helen Mirren guy.
I'm married, so I can't fuck you, Angie.
Married.
Yeah.
All right, well, Peter, now you know how the game goes. Here you go. You got to get 4 out of 5 to win. I have a tiebreaker just in case.
All right.
Number one, Sean Connery or Michael Caine? The Rock.
Sean Connery.
Yes, that's a kind of an old 007 Sean Connery. Okay. I can appreciate that. Number two, Alfie.
Michael Caine.
I feel like it's the same voice, but yeah, I'll give it to you. That's correct. No, that's fine. That's good. I'm throwing it at you.
I don't have a movie podcast.
I'm totally throwing it at you. Okay. Number three.
That's a good conversation.
Good conversation. Number three, Goldfinger.
Sean Connery.
Oh, yeah, you almost missed it there. All right, you guys are tied. Here we go. Number four, The Name of the Rose.
Sean Connery.
That is correct. Oh! Number five, Funeral in Berlin.
Oh, fuck me. God damn it. Michael Caine.
That is correct. Oh, we're in the table. Look at that. Congratulations.
Good job.
In your face.
Look out here.
Sir. Good showing.
Drew, practice.
Just 5-1, still a good record, but your first loss of the year.
It's good to get that out of it.
Did you practice?
No, I didn't practice. I was drunk.
You practice your random out of nowhere movie trivia ahead of time. congratulations, Peter.
Thank you.
Look at that, first timer.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's great. No, that's fantastic.
Let me get out of here.
And you guys are
jumping the hot tub and just get the hell out.
No, it's very cool that you guys are game enough to play along there. Also, so back to the plugs.
Okay.
Bampana, what was that again?
Stop it.
No, I just want to know what that was.
All right, let's talk about my other sponsor.
You have another sponsor that you want? Go ahead, throw it out there.
Red Light Beer Parlor on Grand Drive.
Red Light, one of the best bars in town.
Fucking A.
What is that, the Autobahn Park District?
The Autobahn Park. Beautiful Autobahn Park.
The beautiful Autobahn. Garden. Oh, excuse me.
Garden District. Right there, we've got gardens. We've got one.
got Lou, a garden.
Lou Garden. Yeah. I'm sponsored by Bama Bama Vintage and the... What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
That's you freaked me out.
No, I'm sorry about
that. I've got two sponsors, Bama Pama and Red Light, Red Light.
Red Light, which is over...
on Corinne Drive.
Corinne Drive, yes. Right. less than half a mile from the East End Market.
Yes.
Yeah. East End Market just had a big write-up in the Boston Globe.
I live in a really hip section of town, but by luck.
It's a cool section of town, right by Baldwin Park, too, which is not bad
fancy
itself.
Fancy town. We call that fancy town.
Baldwin Park, it's fancy town, but it also used to be a naval base that got raised. Yeah, so fuck them. They're on top of old bombs.
And if you're coming to me to my house to kill me... because I said something mildly offensive, you didn't get it. I can look out my door and look at Auburn Park and look to the left and see Fancy Town, Baldwin Park.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, we're pretty centrally located near red light. I call it stumbling distance from red light.
that's
actually, all I need in my world.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to be within walking distance of any place where
decent
you can
bar.
Yeah. Get drunk. Very good. Right there you go. Red light, and bam.
No one knows.
Just Google Scotch and Good Conversation. I'm all so those sorry things will come up. Also, this week, here we go, guys, making my debut. As a trivia master, I will be hosting trivia at the Red Cypress Brewery.
Ooh.
Say it. Come on, Chris. Say it.
Brewery. I can't say that word when I'm sober, let alone when I'm podcasting.
Make beerery.
They do make beerery. The red podcast, make beerery.
Okay. Red good podcast, beer. Make beerery.
You know what? I'm going to be sober when I host that trivia.
Yes, sure you are.
Sure you are.
Oh, no, yeah, hey, winky, winky. Yeah, no, I will be, for sure. Red Cypress Brewery and Oviedo, Thursday. It starts at 7, it'll be an hour and a half, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be hosting, come out, drink, answer some free questions, and then if you win, you'll win like a goddamn thing. They're giving out gift certificates over there. You get free beer, anything, beer shots
free,
at the
really
bar.
Really good beer.
Great beer. Yeah. So Red Cypress is good stuff. So
I almost grabbed a six-pack of that.
Yes. Find out what you like. Grab a six-pack on your way out. Come on, guys. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be there doing some trivia. That's Thursday. What is that? The 2nd, March 2nd, 7 p.m. Be there. Or do something else. I don't know. It's your life.
Way to promote.
I mean... What am I going to do? Like I said, the least active audience in fucking podcasts.
No, we're changing that.
Are we? Yeah. Are we, guys? It's been 4 years now. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Challenge accepted?
I'm leaving a review when I get home.
Oh, thank you. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? I'll leave a review.
I'll leave one for yours, but let you heads up. Use a pseudonym. So.
Okay.
So you'd be like, what's this weird one? Oh, this must be that guy. All right, let's do, you know what, Billy D, he's our homie up in New York City, our senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. You can find him all over the internet at I Love Blood, and he hits us up every week with his Death at the Movie segment, and here's the intro for that.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Dr. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I watched a bunch of movies this week, mostly a bunch of classics, to put me in the right headspace for this film I saw last night.
All
right. I took in a couple films at BAM because they were running a program of social thrillers in advance of Jordan Peele's Get Out getting released.
Social thriller. That's what you would call Get Out. Social thriller.
The films selected by Peele all influenced Get Out directly, or they influenced Peele directly. I caught The People Under the Stairs and Candyman in 35mm. I never got to see these in theaters, being too young at the time, and wow, just wow.
Yeah, man, those are both intense movies. Candyman and People Under the Stairs?
Mm-hmm. In 35mm, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, when you're in New York City, you get access to that shit.
You
get access to cool things like that. That's
stupid New York.
I used to live there, but I was
New York.
I was a kid. I couldn't appreciate all the cool stuff.
All
right. I've always thought
it is different.
People Under the Stairs was ahead of its time, but it's more relevant today than ever before. When Donald Trump is talking about the inner city being a war zone, he is describing the projects in The People Under the Stairs or Candyman, with dogs fighting over human body parts and stairwells, and crackheads sleeping on shit-stained mattresses and hallways. And after seeing Candyman in theaters, that Philip Glass score has now become one of my most sought-after items. Tony Todd is still super effect as the tortured villain. Last night, we braved a February thunderstorm to see Get Out in Williamsburg. Jordan Peele is known for being one half of Key & Peele. As a comedy show, they stood apart by having perfectly rehearsed cinematic sketches, as opposed to the loose and improv nature of most modern comedy. One of my favorite aspects of Key & Peele was picking out all the film Easter eggs, references, and homages they wove into their sketches.
and you can play that game with Get Out, but the references are subtle, and when contextualized with the theme of Get Out, the things he chooses to reference become subversive in their own right. From the very beginning.
Man, he's got a lot of, he got a lot to say this week, bro. He's got a lot more to say than normal.
I would have fucked up like 10 times than that.
Oh, no. Drew's a reading machine.
Okay. From the very beginning, I chuckled at the very deliberate choice of using the Woody Allen font for titles because, let's face it, Woody Allen movies are the whitest shit ever. I don't even like Woody Allen movies, but I saw that and knew immediately what was happening, and the film just gets better from there. This is something I'm going to be rewatching a lot in the future and will be talking about at length as people see it, which, judging from all the sold-out shows here, shouldn't be long. I can recommend Get Out easily. It's a tense film packed with atmosphere and dread and great characters. It's also provocative and brilliantly directed.
Yeah.
It was also funny as hell. Truly a near-impossible filmmaking achievement and deserving of all its praise. If you caught it and loved it like I did, but are looking for more in the same vein, I'd recommend these movies too. Candyman, The People Under the Stairs, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Rear Window, The Burbs, Night of the Living Dead, The Shining, Misery, and Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, all good.
These were all part of the Jordan Peele selected social thriller series at BAM. Stay cool, Billy D.
Yeah, so Jordan Peele, the director of Get Out, I read about this. He was able to program several weeks of film screenings. And those are a bunch of movies that he showed, movies that informed Get Out. And sounds like Billy, being our New York City correspondent, got to take part in some of those things. You know, L.A. correspondent, our homie Ron in L.A. said he'd be our L.A. correspondent, but he hasn't really corresponded that much from L.A. things, man. So I think the position is still open.
No.
To our many L.A. listeners. We have tons of L.A. listeners.
If they want to, you know, like, oh, wait. You're asking our listeners to do work for the show, Chris.
That's right.
Leave a review.
That's where you're going wrong.
The lazy listeners, I forgot. I totally forgot about that. Drewsy Cogburn's getting himself another beer. So Billy D, he liked Get Out. So he gave us pretty much the same review that we gave. Well directed, well acted, good characters. It's a very smart movie. And then if you like any of those movies, he name drops real quick there. Rosemary's Baby, The Shining, stuff like that. There's definitely a hint of The Shining there in terms of the sentence of madness, because there's the whole thing with the hypnosis and stuff, you know. And it's just, but the movie is more emotional than your average Stanley Kubrick movie.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Because Kubrick keeps it back, he keeps it cold. Mm-hmm. He's like Fincher, Zodiac, and David Fincher, when he films a murder, it happens like 20 feet away in the field. You know, you don't get any close-ups, as opposed to, you know, like a James Wan, a Saw type movie where
it's
happening in your face and you see the horror, you know. It's a different way of taking news. I'm trying to do multiple things here. You got your beer there, buddy?
Yes, I do.
You feel good? Mm-hmm. Feel good or you feel traffa?
Sure.
Shout out to Billy D. We appreciate it. Let's do, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and jump into the movie news, which means we're going to play the movie news intro.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel.
We got intros for everything. PVT. This is how we do it.
Makes me so happy.
Makes you feel like you're almost on a real show.
Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He's been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the Biebs?
That's right, it's movie news time. This is when we talk about hot beach bops, celebrity divorces, which celebrity murderer is getting off for murder this week,
and finally, most importantly
most importantly,
what is up with the Biebs?
What's going on with the Biebs? Peter Von Taborski from Scotch and Good Conversation. Do you have a Biebs update? What's going on with Justin Bieber?
No pressure. I'd like to punch him.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine. Yeah,
perfect.
Okay.
And then I wish he'd just buy me like some booze and hang out.
That'd be cool.
While.
Oh, so punch him in the face.
Yeah.
But then sit down and record a kind of, podcast with him.
I think
drink
so.
And record.
Oh, that'd be a highly downloaded podcast.
Would you have
podcast.
Him in the room?
Fuck yeah,
in
would.
The spacious, gigantic studio that would.
I would. I would beg him to dance and sing, and I'd give him a drum set. And be like, can you do things?
Oh, he plays drums, doesn't he?
He does everything. He's
You're
so talented.
Fan. Are you a fan?
Not one known. But I recognize
he's
talent.
He's got respect for the hustle.
I respect the hustle. And I respect the talent. The dude is seriously talented. He's also extremely douchey.
Here's the thing.
Awful person. Yes,
I would have him sitting here in the studio.
I feel like. If I was racing my Porsche down the streets of Miami, I'd still be in jail.
Oh,
sure.
I'm fairly certain.
Yeah.
Did he have pot in his pocket or drugs in his pocket also?
I mean, probably.
I could be wrong.
Well, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's also Canadian. They mean well.
I want to be a Canadian.
They got that Justin Trudeau up there. Have you seen this guy?
Yeah. He's very handsome.
And fucking smart.
He's super handsome, super smart. There's viral videos of him explaining quantum computing.
I saw that. I saw that.
Yeah, and he's so charming about it. And I'm like, all right, let's see. Who do we have? Oh, the Flaming Cheeto.
Canada's not so bad. They brought us Rush.
They're Paul Schaefer? Rush. Yeah. Mike Myers.
Sure.
Kids in a Hall.
Uh-huh.
Canadian Whiskey.
Loverboy.
Loverboy.
I said that.
LeBlat. LeBlat or LeBat?
LeBat.
LeBat. Excuse me. Yeah. Moosehead.
Moosehead.
Canada, you got any better than Moosehead? I'm sure you do. They're like...
Bare Naked Ladies. Sorry, I have them back in my head.
We have Canadian listeners. Shout out to our Canadian listeners. They know what we're talking about, especially out there in Toronto. You got to drop the last T in Toronto. They call it Hogtown, did you know?
Will you adopt my wife and I?
Please.
Canada, please adopt
Cinema Crespediso. At least for the next 4 years.
And shout out to the Toronto, the MLS team. You're going to get spanked this year by Orlando City. Go City. Hashtag Go City. Hashtag soccer. Hashtag footy.
Didn't we just lose Brooke Shea?
Did we? I'm not paying attention.
No one pays attention.
Movie news. That's right. That's what we're doing. So, just because we reported this before, I just wanted to bring it up just to keep our listeners up to speed, because some of them care. Obviously, that's why we report on it. The Batman movie. They were struggling looking for a director. They have officially signed on Matt Reeves to direct the new Batman movie. Matt Reeves is the guy who directed the last two of the Planet of the Apes films.
I like him.
Yeah, he's done good work already.
We're a big fan of the Planet of the Apes films.
I think they're good. The new one looks great. He did the new one. War of the Planet of the Apes come out this summer. It's already got a trailer out there, and I'm a fan of the new ones.
I'm a fan of the old ones.
Well, the old ones are for sure. Yeah. But that Tim Burton one was a little disappointing.
Yeah, it was terrible.
What was that all about? Actually, I know
it was Marky Mark.
I know what it was all about.
I blame Marky Mark.
Yeah,
guys, it's just I'm fighting the apes. You want to fight the apes?
Yeah.
Have you heard about the honeybees?
I have.
Have you guys heard about the honeybees? I got to work on that Marky Mark. I'm losing it there. Doing too much Michael Caine. Too much Michael Caine. What if Michael Caine wasn't Planet of the Apes?
That'd be awesome.
Here comes Roddy McDowell.
I'd be happy.
He's a giant monkey man. The problem with the Planet of the Apes, the Tim Burton one, was there was a looming writer's strike that never happened.
Yeah, I read about that.
So the studios freaked out and they greenlit. I don't know what other movies fall under this umbrella, but they greenlit a lot of movies to happen really fast. So they had stuff in the pipeline in case the writer's strike went through. Then they still had movies to release. And then the writer's strike never happened. But we still got goddamn Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. And I expect more from Tim Burton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Back then we did.
Yeah.
Now.
Not so much.
Enough strikes. He's had five strikes. Five or six strikes.
What was his last film?
His last film was not... It was Big Eyes. Was it Big Eyes? No, it was the...
Miss Peregrine's blah, blah, blah.
For Peculiar Children. Yes, an adaptation of some sort of popular children's book that was like Kids X-Men.
Is that about the artist?
Big Eyes was about the artist.
I saw that one.
That was like 3 years. It was fine.
I heard it was okay.
It's a fine movie. Yeah. It doesn't have. It's weird than the Tim Burton movie. It's like the least Tim Burton-y movie of them all.
Which might be okay.
It ended up being a fine movie, but it's like the type of thing where if it's on, you're flipping through a TV and it's on at the Sunday afternoon, like, oh, look, Big Eyes started 20 minutes ago. I'll pick it up from here and keep watching.
Girls like it. Is that a bad thing to say? I think I said a bad thing.
No, I don't even think that's a bad thing. I know what you're saying. Movies are made with specific audiences in mind.
Girls
I don't know,
like the Big Eye paintings.
I don't know if it was made, though, for... Maybe that was part of the problem. I don't know if it was made for a specific... For a female audience. It was just made for audiences in general. And I don't know if Tim Burton can do that.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very specific... filmmakers has a very specific vision.
You should have him on the podcast.
I would love to have him on the podcast. My cousin hung out with him once.
And my podcast.
And then have him on your podcast. Okay. Or if you have him on, then you get send him our way.
Okay, we're going to do this.
However this works.
Tim, come on our podcast.
We'll make this work. I'll call my cousin. Hung out with him once 15 years ago. I'm sure he remembers.
I'm sure he does.
That. So Matt Reeves, director of the last couple of the Planet of the Apes movies, is doing a new Batman. I just wanted to just update people on that. What's going on there? Also, an update for people. I said that there was going to be a Logan end credit scene of some sort, but then the director of Logan, the new Wolverine movie, says there is no. You know how they do that? They throw in a scene at the end of the goddamn credits.
Yes.
I love the fucking end. At least in Ferris Bueller, it's Ferris Bueller coming out and be like, the movie's over. Go home. Yeah. At least it was that kind of joke. Now it's like it's a scene that's set up another movie. Or some type of bullshit. God damn, I
It's just Samuel L. Jackson.
I gotta sit through 10 That's minutes of just, names on a screen just to get Samuel to Samuel Jackson in the eye patch being like, we got a Hulk problem.
As a movie guy, don't you think you should appreciate that? All the people who work for that?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
On a theoretical, was. Yes. Yeah. Theoretically, yes, you should show it. Respect to the credits of people who made the movie. In the real world, though, man, I got shit to do.
I know. We gotta go to the bathroom.
I gotta beat the people out of the parking lot, man. That gets backed up over there. All the cars on Saturday night. Yeah, I got shit to do, man. I gotta meet some people. So yes, theoretically, yes, I believe you should sit through the credits. But in reality, I'm as soon as it says directed by, I'm out of there. I'm up. Yes.
All right.
Unless I know that there's some sort of mid-credits thing.
Yeah.
Wait for this. That's at the very end. You might as well sit there and look at the Dolby logo and then the...
I love the Dolby
filmed in Panavision.
Yeah, and then it says, like, copyright. Like, doing the math. Like, yeah, they got it right. They got the one in the new one.
I can't do that. Smart people. Latin.
M's are thousands. C's are hundreds. Once you get that down, you're good to go.
I can't do it.
Beauty and the Beast. The live-action one.
Okay.
Yeah, what's her name? Hermione.
Yep.
She's Belle.
Yep. Legion is Beast.
Legion. The guy on FX now.
Yeah.
That guy, Peter, actually, up there in the corner, if you look.
Dan Stevens.
Not Benicio del Toro, but the bland white guy for the poster for the movie called The Guest. Top corner.
That one.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
The Guest was a good film. I like that. That guy's...
I love that movie. That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
That guy is the Beast. He's like in the makeup, but half makeup, half CG. The Beast.
Is this a film? Like a live action?
Live action Beauty and the Beast?
It's Disney's live action Beauty and the Beast.
I'm never going to watch that. No. Well, yeah.
They don't need your money.
I know they don't. I'm not worried about them. Because I went to Disney last weekend, unfortunately.
They got your money already. They got that money.
Yeah.
Well, movie-wise, they're projecting a $120 million opening weekend for Beauty and the Beast. That is a shit ton of money.
People love that Emma Watson.
People do love Emma Watson. They also love Disney and Beauty and the Beast, and the marketing has been strong. So for that target audience, they're gonna kill it there. Meanwhile, this guy is also on TV, so... the people who are producing Legion, where this guy's the lead, they are super happy that this movie is going to make a ton of money. And then at the end...
Yeah, and then what? All those people are going to go watch Legion and be like, what the fuck is going on?
No, but they'll see his face and be like, oh, I recognize that guy. He's a dude at the end of Beauty and the Beast when the Beast de-beastifies, and then he's a handsome man who has also been Downton Abbey.
Is de-beastifies a word?
It is now.
It is now.
Okay, good. I'm just checking.
It is not, because I'm a writer. So I know. When I spit out words, they become canon. They become English canon
for Chris Crespo, maybe.
They become canonicized. They become canonical. They're
canonical.
Animanicized. Alright, we're done with the movie news. Let's get into the... this is the segment of the people, the voice of the people. This is the show of the people. Okay. I'm the podcast movie critic of the people. Juice the Cockroach, the juicer of the people. You're the PVT of the people.
Sure.
That's how this works.
Why not?
So it's time for the Vox Populi. Here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous...
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
Here we go. Before we start the Vox Populi, I also got your Crispinito sports update. The Mets are beating the Detroit Tigers 2-0 in the spring training game today. I hope that helps you wherever and whenever you are listening to this podcast.
All right, we got an email from Cremella.
Cremella, hit us up. You can email us, cinemacrespinito@gmail.com. We will read it on the show. That's movie reviews, topic suggestions, Crespidome battles. We haven't had one of those in a while. Whatever you want us to talk about or whatever you want to talk about, send it to us. We'll read it, just like Carmella did.
We got a review of Teacher Fight, a.k.a. Fist Fight.
Nice. That's the movie with Ice Cube and Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It just came out last week, reviewed very poorly on Rotten Tomatoes.
I had really low expectations going into this movie.
There we go. Okay. Duh. Context.
I love classic 80s-style raunchy R-rated comedies, and Fist Fight delivers. Charlie Day plays against type and is the nice guy protagonist.
Okay.
Ice Cube is well cast as Ice Cube, and he plays himself nicely. Fist Fight has terrific supporting cast.
Plays himself nicely.
Including,
I can do that.
I know, right?
Including
so easy.
Tracy Morgan, Christina Hendricks, and Hank from Breaking Bad. If you like Vice Principals on HBO, then you'll probably enjoy Fist Fight. 4.837 out of 6.9 Crespos.
All right, there we go.
Well, people are rating things in Crespos.
He does.
He does. All right.
He does for sure, which is very nice of him. Yeah, I'm open to that. People can use me as a metric.
I'm going to start using you as a metric.
Please do. 100% that question, when people give you a good question, right. Like, oh, that question was, if it's on the Cremella scale, 6.0 out of 6.9 Crespos. Right. 6.9 is the
talking number. No, it's not. The scale changes every day.
The scale keeps changing?
Every email.
The scale keeps changing?
Yes, every email. All
right.
Get it better, kids. Well, you know what? What's next?
All right. We got an email from Lewis.
What's up, Lewis?
Hello, cinema dudes.
What's up, dude?
I've been trying to catch up on the older episodes, so I don't know if you guys have talked about the Miami Film Festival in March.
We did not.
I have made it a New Year's resolution to leave Brevard County at least once every month, and so far it has been going good.
All right, good.
In January, I went to Mexico. Luckily, Trump didn't stop me from coming back. And this month, I went to Longwood. So, for March, I think I might go to this film festival in Miami. Any suggestions on what day and movie I should see? Thanks for any suggestion, and stay classy, my cinema compadres.
Ooh, nice. I don't know. Movies at the Miami Film Festival specifically?
I looked it up, and there was nothing that I... There was nothing that I knew.
Because it's a film festival. That's the thing with film festivals.
Yeah, but even like with the Florida Film Festival is here in Orlando, you know, you're like, okay, we need to go see... We need to make sure we see High Rise and this and that. Like, you know, usually you've heard of at least one of the films on the list.
That's true. Every now and then, depending on the fest, they will show a bigger movie that plans to come out. I don't think the Miami Film Festival is necessarily that big of a fest, though. There's already the Florida Film Festival, which they do right here in Orlando and partly in Maitland, which we're very lucky to...
It's a great film festival.
It's a fantastic festival. They've been doing for over two decades now.
Absolutely.
And I've been saying it every year now. For 4 or 5 years, people should take advantage of it.
You guys are the official podcast of the Florida Film
Festival. I wish we were. We should be.
We could be.
We've been covering it now for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Is there one?
I don't think there is.
You guys are the official film.
Peter says so. Make it so.
All right.
Drew, make it so.
It's done.
It's done.
Okay, there we go.
When we go pick up our press credentials for this year's festival, we'll talk to the marketing team and be like, you know what? This is what was proposed. It's the way it is now.
All you have to do, Chris,
go on Twitter,
go on the Cinema Crespediso one, and in the information, all you have to do is put official podcast of the Florida Film Festival, and it's done.
I'm here to help.
I'm sure they'll appreciate that so much, too, as a matter of fact.
But we should probably wait till we get our press passes.
They'll love that.
Just bum rush it.
Just bum rush it. Just take it, because they'll love to have a fuck-ass podcast like us take the role for the non-profit theater that is the Enzian Film Festival.
Enzian.
We do love them, though, and it's a great festival. The Miami one, I don't think it's that big. There's also the Sarasota Film Festival, right,
yes,
Drew?
There is.
That's a pretty big one, as
it's
a matter
getting
of
bigger.
Fact. And it's getting bigger every year. They get great guests to show that one.
Well, and I think the reason why is because a lot of celebrities have houses.
It's just them checking in on their house, their winter house.
Pretty much, and writing it off on their taxes.
There's the Orlando Film Festival, which I believe Curtis Earth, past and future guest of the show, he knows the person who runs that thing. But I think that's more like the Miami one, where it's a smaller movies. It's stuff you don't know. It's a lot of regional stuff, which go and support your regional filmmakers and your regional artists. That's awesome. That's really cool. But you're not going to see anything. At the most, those type of movies, you'll see them on Netflix in a year or two, or Amazon or something like that. It's that type of thing. But thank you, Luis, for the email. We appreciate it. What else you got, Drew?
We got an email from our homeboy, Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
Entitled, Questions for Peter / Show.
Oh, shit.
What?
He knows.
Yeah,
okay.
He knows who you are, apparently. Yeah,
right. He saw that you're on the show.
Hi, Gabe. Thanks for listening, buddy.
Yeah, you probably
should email my show.
All right. Where
can people email your show?
ScotchandGoodConversation@gmail.com or just pass by my house.
All right, so question for all of us, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Top 3 movie bands, singer/songwriters. Go.
Top 3 movie bands?
Yes.
Like bands that are in movies?
Uh-huh. Or singer/songwriters that are in movies.
Oh, that is tough.
Yeah, I can I feel this one, please?
Yeah.
I just got on vinyl a band called The Rave Ups. They were the band in Pretty in Pink on the stage when Ducky gets... Ducky passes by Andrew Dice Clay to get in the bar.
Yeah.
The band on stage was a band called The Rave Ups. And
you just...
I just got the Rape Ups album. And I forget the name because I'm a little drunk. I just got it on vinyl, and it's a fucking good record.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I the Rave Ups.
So there's one.
Hold on. Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo. Oingo Danny Boingo. Alvin's Oingo Boingo.
They were in Not Weird Science. They were in Back to School. They're on stage in Back to School.
Okay.
And the 5-6-7s, is that from
5-6-7-8s? Yeah. Kill Bill?
Yeah. Yes. That's my top three. You guys go. No pressure. Yes.
Right, that one. Okay. Oh, Drew? Man.
Okay. We've got, Flea and Anthony Kiedis?
Ooh.
In Point Break?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Not a band, but okay. No. We'll go with it.
Two people from the band.
We'll go with it.
Chili Peppers.
Mostly. We'll run with it.
Sting was what? The bad guy in what fucking awful movie was that?
The space movie.
Yeah.
Dune.
Yeah. Yes. He was the bad guy in the original Dune.
Hold that on.
And last but certainly not least, Tampa Natives. What the fuck? Why can't I think of their name right now? They did Hammer Smash. Cannibal Corpse. They were in Ace Ventura. They were the house band. Yeah, they were the house band. They were playing Hammer Smash Face.
Which is so crazy that you. Which is so crazy you said that because I had already picked Ace Ventura. A clip from Ace Ventura: Pet Detective is the opening of the show, like the pre-roll of the show. It's so crazy whenever I pick a movie thing from the beginning of the show, like way in advance, and then it comes up later somehow. You didn't even know, and you said it.
Yep.
That's crazy. My top three bands, whatever, movie-wise, this is a crazy question.
It's a good one.
I'm going to go with Figurin' Dan and the Modal Nodes.
I have no idea what that is.
Those are the guys that played the Cantina song in the Star Wars A New Hope. That's Figurin' Dan and the Modal Nodes, and the name of that style of music is called Jizz.
Sure.
Look it
There's
up.
There's a joke there someplace.
That is real, though. It's actually called Jizz.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two is going to be the Sex Bombs. That's Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Michael Cera's band.
That's a good fucking band.
a good fucking band, great fucking music. The soundtrack done by Beck. All the Sex Bombs stuff is Beck.
Did not know that.
And my number three is going to be, oh my God, this
you can
is
do it.
Be...
You can do it.
He took Cannibal Corpse. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
That's a good one because they played Hammer Smash Face. Yeah. That was actually... Ace Ventura actually introduced me to death metal. I owe a lot to Ace Ventura.
And there's Sons of Tampa as well.
And that is true. Florida Boys. My number three is... Who's calling? Get the fuck out of here with the debt collector calling on a Sunday afternoon. Okay. Are you the debt collector? Don't tell me that. I'll give you a swirly. My number three, to throw it back, Michael J. Fox, his band... that was playing in the in Back to the Future. They were auditioning for the prom, and then the guy with the it was actually Huey Lewis is playing one of the judges.
Yeah, and he you're just him. Too damn loud.
Yeah, he's like no, exactly. And then he also goes on to play Johnny B. Goode and be the white guy to introduce rock and roll to the black guy, just to make it just a little weirdly racist. I love that movie, but it's just a little bit of 80s racism to remind you that the world is fun.
Yeah. Ooh,
good question. Does Gabe have more questions?
Hey guys, I'm sorry. The correct answer was Lauryn Hill in Sister Act 2.
Oh yeah. Yeah. None of those are right. Okay, good.
Yeah. We were all wrong.
Damn
all
right.
And also, top three things that you've read that became movies. Go.
Jesus Christ. Top three things that became movies that I read?
Watchmen, V for Vendetta, Old Man Logan.
All right, there you go. I'm going to say just off the top of my head, Fight Club, No Country. Did you say No Country Run?
No.
Fight Club, There Will Be Blood, Children of Men. There you go. I read all those things. They all became movies. Peter.
Lord of the Rings. That's
yeah. That's, boom. No, you're
that's
right.
Actually that's 1, 2, 3. Right.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Good job.
Wait, can I say The Outsiders?
That's 4. You want to give us a 5?
Fuck me. No.
Okay. There we go.
Yes. I like that.
And also, last but certainly not least, I've only had Macallan 12. What's a good scotch you'd recommend, or in general, a good quote unquote on the rocks suggestion?
Okay. I'm just going to say real quick because I'm going to go grab a beer out of the fridge. Look up Brian Cox reads names of scotches on YouTube. And he sits there and he's like.
Brian Cox?
Yeah. Brian Cox.
He's like Macallan 12.
He's like Glenlivet or whatever. and then he takes
takes a sip, and it's wonderful. Peter, can you feel the scotch question from
no.
me?
No. Contrary to popular belief, we only drink really shitty scotch. Is that bottle that
yes, it's right there.
Yeah, we got it right here. Let's
yeah.
see.
We, this is McCrannan.
You brought us something.
Yeah, we McCrannan Glen. It's an 8-year-old, and it's like $13. I would love to tell you that I'm the connoisseur of really, really good scotch. But I'm not. Like I part of the reason I started this podcast, Scotch and Good Conversation, was because I figured if I invited people to my home, they would bring me scotch, and it's
there we go.
It's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, if you call the podcast Scotch and Good Conversation, your guests will just be, oh, here's a bottle of scotch for you.
It's worked out pretty well. The other reason is I can't drink scotch quickly. Mm-hmm. Like I drink beer. Like I pound beers. And I usually drink like stouts and imperial stouts because you can't pound them because you'll throw up. But I still wind up pounding them. Scotch, you can't like pound quickly.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, but it's just a bad decision. Yeah. You're just making bad life decisions if you do that. Compass Box, the Peat Monster, might be my favorite scotch that I've ever had. And it's $70 bottle of scotch, I think. So, did that guy really write an email to me?
Yeah.
On your show?
Yeah.
Who is he?
His name is Gabe.
Gabe, thanks for...
I don't want it.
Thanks. You don't have to drink it. I'll drink it. I'll drink it to drive home. All right.
Yeah, that's why it's less than a full shot. That's
I know. It's just a little shot, and all we had was water and Gatorade before this.
It's all about hydration.
Metamucil.
That's why I'm drinking the vodka and club soda, because 90% of that drink is water.
Well, thank you for having me on.
No, thank you for having me on. Thank you for drinking the booze. I don't care how cheap it is, sir.
You guys are both going to come on my show, I hope.
All you got to do is invite us.
You're invited. Consider yourself invited. Come by, hang out.
All right, then we'll work out the schedule. You know, let's... You say it's cheap, but it's smooth enough.
It's not terrible. No. Like, then that's just it. And
that is quaffable. You sure you don't want some?
I'm positive.
If you
sure is really adamant about not drinking
this. If you start down low and build your way up, it's easier.
Well, yeah.
That's true. That's the thing. The more you drink it, it's like, oh, this is getting better and better when you get to the bottom of the bottle. But then the next day, you're like it would be good. You really feel it.
Here's what I do. Normally, I will put a bottle of scotch on the desk that I record out of. And I don't say... You want something like that? It's kind of an icebreaker. It's like, can we get into that? I was like, please.
That's very
cool. Knock yourself out. It's like 2 o'clock on a scotch. That's fun.
Well, that's good to know, because that means I may have to Uber. I'm going to feel free to go in and drink it up.
Chris, any recommendations from you?
Scotch-wise, you know? I'm going to take a quick picture so I can put it on the Instagrams. I don't know. It's, I've been drinking, you know, off mic, I've been drinking a lot of vodkas lately.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, just because I've been, I don't want to die a horrible young death from diabetes or heart disease, and sugars get you there fast. Yeah, yeah. So I've been doing a lot of vodkas. That's why I've been drinking less beers, but today it is a podcast day. Podcast Sunday fun day. I will fuck around. I'll eat donuts. I'll drink OBP. I will drink some goddamn.
The white liquor is like your
scotch
friend.
Whiskey. Yes, it is.
We like gin a lot.
Are you a gin guy?
I like gin.
I've had, that's in the past, I've had people make me good gin and tonics.
Yeah.
I drink, this is good. And then I buy gin myself, and then I try to make it at home. For some reason, I can't get it right. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I'm fucking this up.
We'll drink gin on the podcast. Come hang out with me. We'll drink some gin.
Make me some gin.
Gin and good conversation.
I'm in.
Doesn't sound as cool.
I'm in for the gin, but we'll definitely schedule that. Do I have a scotch? I don't know. My suggestion, what is Brian? Cox, how does he pronounce scotches? Watch that video, and etc. All right, that shot of scotch is starting to hit me. So Drew, we need to get back into the Vox Populi.
And last but certainly not least,
that's what I'm talking about.
Our homeboy Leon Rivera got at us on Facebook.
Okay,
asks best 80s sci-fi movie in everyone's opinion.
Good question. 80s sci-fi movies.
Pick one.
We've been already talking about Back to the Future. That's a seminal. I mean, that movie hit at such a specific point when it came to like VHS and movie special effects. Your Total Recall. You have your RoboCop. What else is big 80s sci-fi? Terminator, Blade Runner.
Alien.
Aliens.
That's the answer.
Alien is 79. Aliens.
But Aliens, the second one.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is better, I think.
Are you?
It all depends on where you fall on the spectrum.
A lot of people like Aliens
more. Do you like horror more or do you like sci-fi more?
That's true. I just see them as different movies.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just straight up prefer the second one. Are you looking forward to the new one coming out? Alien...
Nine.
Covenant.
Covenant.
Oh, okay. I thought it was nine.
No.
I am. I'm a fan of the Alien films or any of the Silence of the Lambs films.
Oh, yeah? Those are your go-tos?
Hannibal Lecter. He's the guy, the bad guy that you love to hate.
Are you a fan of Manhunter? That's my favorite.
I think I need to go back and look at it again.
That's my favorite one. That's one where Brian Cox, speaking of Brian Cox, he's Hannibal Lecter in that one.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I really kind of have to take a look at it
because
I saw it after Silence of the Lambs came out.
Okay.
And there was no comparing the two.
Because it's just different.
Stylistically, it just was a different film.
It's very different. Speaking of 80s, it's totally mid-80s. It's Michael Mann. It's big sterile shots and like the Tangerine Dream style soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe than was it Jonathan Demme, I think, who did Silence of the Lambs? One of the Demmes. Jonathan or Ted? It's a dead one. The dead Demme.
Sure.
The one that died.
The dead Demme.
Drew doesn't know.
I have no idea.
The Silence of the Lambs is good. Red Dragon it's crazy, but it's like, I feel like Manhunter is the better version of that story.
Is that film?
It's the same story. It's the same book. The original book is called Red Dragon.
Yeah.
So the one with Ed Norton, it's like the same exact story, but they added more Hannibal Lecter stuff so they could get more Anthony Hopkins
Philip
in there.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he plays the role of the reporter.
Yeah.
Who in the original, that's played by Stephen Lang, who he's probably now best known as being the bad guy in Avatar, the one with the scar on his face. Yeah. And he was super ripped.
He was just in a film I saw. What's a recent film?
Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe. Don't Breathe is really fucking good.
It's great.
Yeah.
And he's the old
turkey baster.
Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
the turkey baster.
Yeah.
That shit was fucked up.
Because I like watching a film and if it's not like a really super important film to me, I will watch it and look at IMDb.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. You look him up.
And I was like, that dude needs more credit.
He's been in a lot of stuff. That's the thing. He's one of those guys where he transforms over time. He was like really fat in Tombstone, where he played Ike Clanton.
Didn't know he was in Tombstone.
Yeah, he's fat and it doesn't look like him. Yeah. But once you find out it's him, you look at his eyes like, oh my God, it's Stephen Lang.
He was pretty pumped up in Avatar, right?
Yes, he's jacked in Avatar. Yeah. And he played the role that Philip Seymour Hoffman played, the same role in Manhunter.
I'm going to go back and look at Manhunter.
It's worth it. It's worth checking out. It's on HBO Now.
Don't
Go.
Have people.
You don't have that?
No.
It's on maybe Amazon.
I'll rent it at some point.
It's out there somewhere. Yeah. It's ready for you. Is that it for the Vox Populi?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, people. We really appreciate it. Make sure you rate
us. Thanks for emailing.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Gabe, for questions for
you. Get more emails for me on your show than I do on my show.
For you. Well, you gotta put the word out. You gotta ask for him. Let people know.
Yeah.
scotchandgoodconversation@gmail.com.
Scotch and good conversation.
Say it, Chris.
I'm just taking over your
show. That's a whole different podcast.
You need a spinoff podcast where you get drunk and talk theology. Scotch and God Conversation. Oh my God. I would be on that show every week.
So would I.
I would get hammered drunk and talk religion every week.
You could do it. I'll be here. And just kind of.
We'll do it here. We'll do the spinoff here. Scotch and God Conversation.
I'm in.
Yeah. Why not?
I think that's how the New Great Philosopher is going to start.
It's right. The New Great Phosphorus is actually a Scotch and God conversation.
Yeah.
We're just like, let me tell you about existence.
Or lack thereof.
Oh, deep thinking. Okay. end of the show, guys. End of the show means it is time for the lightning round. Here we go.
We give you the questions. You and give us the answers.
Where the questions at?
Time for the lightning round.
Shut it all. Nonsense.
I'm getting into that.
It's gonna, nonsense.
I was about the air guitar.
PVT. Yeah, actually, I have a tendency to... or air drumming.
Sure.
This is the lightning round. I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers, and I need them right away.
Okay, good.
As soon as I hit him, you bring it back. You return to serve. Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, why is ink toner so pricey?
Because they can.
Yes. Number two, what's up with caviar?
I don't quite understand it. It's mildly delicious.
Mildly delicious. Number three, stand-up comedy or sit-down drama?
A comedy.
Number four, why do they even make unsalted crackers?
People are allergic to salt? Maybe.
Are they? What a horrible
existence. No, you'd be dead. You cannot
They're
be allergic to salt.
They're lactose intolerant.
I'll take lactose intolerance. Okay, that sounds good. Number five, think of a number between 1...
7.
...and 1,000.
Okay.
No, just think of it. You got it?
Yeah, no. Maybe. All right, yes.
A number between 1 and 1,000. You got it?
Yes.
Is it white? The number in your head, is it white? The color of the number. The number you're thinking of. Is it white?
All numbers, lives matter.
White numbers, lives matter?
Yes. Sir.
That's your answer?
Yeah, okay, I guess so. My,
Scotch seven. And, yeah. Scotch and God conversation.
Okay, yeah.
Is it a white seven?
Yeah, sure. Because I'm that kind of guy.
Have you found... This is number six.
Okay.
Have you found what you're looking for?
I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Fair enough. Number seven. Do we need any more podcasts?
No. I stop at Scotch and Good Conversation.
Right. That's the last one. Uh-huh. No more. Yeah. Number eight. Does everybody really want to rule the world?
All the dumb people do.
For sure. Number nine. What's been one of your favorite fads of the last 15 years?
What's that thing when you you hang yourself and masturbate?
auto asphyxiation?
That.
Yeah. Shout out to David Carradine, number 10.
Oh, and Michael Hutchinson.
Yes, in excess. Number 10, how about the Mets?
They do their spring training in my hometown, and that's ridiculous.
Oh, you're from Port St. Lucie?
Unfortunately, yes.
Really? Someone's got to be from there, I guess.
I know, yeah. Right?
is it not a cool place to grow up?
It wasn't when I grew up there.
You think it might be cool now?
It's got really good fishing.
Yeah.
If you fish and I don't fish. Or if you're in the clan, it's actually really an excellent place to grow up.
Yeah.
Really?
They have great fishing. That sucks. Some of my friends live there. They have great beaches. That's pretty much it.
Oh, and the Mets. Come through for 3 or 4 weeks.
Sure, yeah.
I'm a Mets fan.
Okay, yeah, now how about them Mets?
but then the clan kind of ruins everything.
Like, well, it's Florida.
It might be better now. I'm sure it's better. I'm sure there's no hatred in Port St. Louis.
No, I'm sure. No, I'm sure they haven't. I'm sure they haven't been emboldened at all by recent political developments.
Has anybody driven the I-4 and I-75 interchange in the last 10 years?
I haven't.
There's this giant rebel flag
flying.
Has been for like the last decade.
Heritage, not hate, Drew.
I know.
Heritage, not hate.
Yeah. Every time I drive by it, I just think, thank God I'm white.
He's so white.
I really do.
End of the show. That means it's swag bag time.
Oh my goodness.
Peter, we have the blue bag. We have the red bag. Choose one and choose wisely.
I'm going blue.
Blue bag. Because it's a slice of flesh. Shiny blue bag. All right.
Okay. Dildo. I hope it's dildo.
Close though.
It'd be a
close.
Buck.
6 inches or less the size of the bag.
Five, right,
go ahead and let them know what we have in the bag this week.
You do get a play handcuffs.
Handcuffs.
Safe and fun with a safety release press button.
That's all I want.
I like how they put that it's safe. Safe and fun.
You got grabble bubble. Bubbles last and last. Oh, catch them and stack them. Apparently, you can touch them. I guess it's like blowing bubbles with maybe some sort of strange plastic.
I'm so getting laid this afternoon.
I don't know what
the
fuck this is.
Yeah, those are bubbles that they.
Ooh, stick. Hey! A copy of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
On DVD.
On Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD combo.
Fucking A, I'm going to masturbate. What is that?
Tampons? No, it's a 100-piece puzzle bug of a monkey driving a tractor, which will probably help with the masturbation.
God damn it, I'm so happy.
And a whole bunch of stickers.
No.
I love you guys.
Peter, all these things, you can take them home. They're all yours.
Or. What?
We put that bag away. You never see it again, and you take what we have in the box right over here. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
So you can take what's in the box, or we put the box away and you take what's home in the bag. You already know what's in the bag.
I know what's in the bag.
You don't know what's in the box.
It could be Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
It's probably not, but it could be, but it's probably not.
Damn it. It says Merry Christmas on it, too.
And it says Merry Christmas, stickers. Too, to entice you.
You know, just for good podcasting.
You'd be surprised how many people will do that, make that decision based on good podcasting.
Is there a new car in there?
There could be keys. There could be car keys.
There could be.
And then there could be a car out back with a big bow on it.
Well, judging by your studios and the hot tub and the sauna.
Or we could just give you car keys with no car.
That's true, too. I do have extra car keys somewhere.
Just because I think it's funny and I don't really like The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
No, I don't like those movies at all.
Okay.
We actually never saw the last one.
That one that's on the DVD, we've never seen it.
Did I put that in my list of books, didn't I?
The other ones are good. I like the Lord of the Rings ones, not the Hobbit ones.
I'm going to go with the box.
All right, go with the box. Sorry, here we go. Go ahead. Pop the top.
Is there going to be snakes coming out?
There are going to be all the lives.
I have no idea.
I'm so fearful of snakes.
It's a puppy!
go ahead and reach in and tell people what you got. What we got going on over here?
Glow sand.
We got glow sand.
Oh, okay. Wrong sound effect.
No,
okay.
You get the good one. You get glow sand.
Look at that kid. He looks so happy.
Look at that. You get. It's multiple.
No, he doesn't.
That kid's being paid to look happy.
He's the model for glow sand.
You get glow sand art. You put that sand in a bottle, and then it glows in the dark, I think, or something like that.
I highly suggest you come on this podcast because you get glow sand.
Yeah, you get stuff.
Put this little $1 sticker on here.
No, and that's exactly how much it costs.
No,
so.
Thank you so much. This has been fun.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. And actually, Drew, can you go ahead and grab some stickers for this guy over here?
Yes.
Stickers. You are still going home with stickers.
Oh, my God, this is fun.
We got to get rid of this shit. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me on.
It's been a lot of fun.
All right.
Drew, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, sir.
And thank you, everyone, for downloading, listening at home. We appreciate it. Make sure you read more books. Be excellent to each other. Break up the big banks. Hide your money in your mattresses. And just be cool, guys. Just be cool.